Okay, colleagues. Good evening, and you're all very welcome to this, the February monthly meeting of Dublin City Council. Firstly, under Lord Mayor's business, we have a couple of different items that I just want to get through tonight, if that's all right. Firstly, colleagues, I might just stand, we might just give
Recording
them a minute
in
silence following the passing of former Taoiseach John Bruton. Just a reminder in terms of the ethics returns, I do notice blank copies in the tea room there. If anybody wants to get them filled out, they need to be done by the 29th of February, colleagues, so if we can get them in, that'd be really grateful. We have one topical issue before us tonight, and that's the traffic plan for Dublin City. It's the only one that's before us tonight, so we can either take a vote, or if it's agreed, we can talk about it if people are happy to. I'm happy to take the lead in the meeting. So is that something that we wish to discuss tonight? Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Discuss.
I take it we're having a discussion on it rather than a vote on it. Is that correct?
A discussion on it, okay. Correctly. So the way topical issues works is it's the group leader system. It's 2 minutes for each group, and then each speaker gets 1 minute thereafter. I think it's unanimously agreed. It needs two-thirds support, so happy to proceed on that basis. Just before I come over to yourself, colleagues, next month is the Irish language meeting that I know everybody's so looking forward to, particularly on the executive side of the house here. The classes have been ongoing. Root circulated an email last Thursday night or Friday, with an awful lot of information. She's also included for councillors, Julian Despond from Cunnan Gaeilge. His details are in there. They're happy to reach out. I think it's his email and his mobile number. And if you've any way that you want to sit down on some questions, you want to sit down on some phrases for certain parts of the report, they're willing to give one-on-one time to each councillor, depending on whatever needs there is. So there's that support there for everybody. And then there's also going to be full translation services available on the night. But we're also going to be doing a little test run in advance to make sure everything works and everything's good. But, looking forward to that. But as I said, the resources are there, the prep's there. Anybody wants any help with questions, would really appreciate it. And then I know the management have also said that if you want to get your questions in advance for certain people that come in on certain issues, more than happy to get your questions in early, whether it's the housing delivery plan or finance, etc. We can get them translated and we can get the answers translated, etc., so we can deal with it on the night. But thank you very much for your help in terms of that. We might do the roll call then before I come to yourself, Richard, if that's all right.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Darrell Barron.
Present.
Councillor Rachel Batten.
Present.
Councillor Janice Boylan.
Hello, here.
Councillor Tom Brabazon.
On show.
Councillor Christy Burke.
On show.
Councillor Derville Butler.
Here.
Councillor Claire Byrne.
Here.
Councillor Danny Byrne.
On show.
Councillor Deborah Byrne.
Here.
Councillor Mary Callaghan.
Present.
Councillor Daniel Caton.
Hello.
Councillor Hazel Chu.
Present.
Councillor Anthony Conaghan. Councillor Fiona.
Ancho.
Councillor Keith Conaghan.
Present.
Councillor Deirdre Conroy.
Ancho.
Conroy. Councillor Caroline Conroy.
Ancho.
Councillor Donna Cooney.
Ancho.
Councillor Kelsey May Daly.
Present.
Councillor Hazel Denortoon.
On show.
Lord Mayor.
On show.
Councillor Tara Deasy.
On show.
Councillor Maura Devine. Councillor Kevin Dunahoo.
On show.
Councillor Dahi Doolan.
On
Councillor Pat Dunn.
Here.
Councillor Anne Feeney.
On show.
Councillor Declan Flanagan.
Unsure.
Councillor Terence Flanagan. Councillor Mannix Flynn.
Present.
Councillor James Gagan. Councillor Alison Gilliland. Councillor Deirdre Heaney. Councillor Jane Horgan-Jones.
Present.
Councillor Janet Horner. Councillor Vincent Jackson. Councillor Dermot Lacey. Councillor Darcy Lanigan. Councillor John Lyons.
Yeah.
Councillor Micheál McDonagha.
I'm sure.
Councillor Breed McCosker.
Present.
Councillor Ray McAdam.
Present.
Councillor Paddy McCartan.
Present.
Councillor Eamon McCormack.
I'm sure.
Councillor Seamus McGrattan. Councillor Declan Mina.
You're lower.
Councillor Carolyn Moore.
Present.
Sorry, Councillor Dara Moriarty. Yeah. Councillor Sophie Nicolau. Yeah. Councillor Nisha Omwiri. Councillor Claire O'Connor.
Unsure.
Councillor Cat O'Driscoll. Councillor Damien O'Farrell.
Here.
Councillor Colm O'Rourke.
Hello, her.
Councillor Larry O'Toole. Councillor Kieran Perry.
Unsure.
Councillor Michael Pigeon. Councillor Nolene Riley. Councillor Niall Ring.
Lahr.
Councillor Patricia Rowe. Councillor
Present.
Councillor Rowe. Councillor Catherine Stocker.
Present.
And Councillor Michael Waters.
Here.
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'd also just like to mention the passing of Shane O'Hanlon, Dublin Selector, for very many years and given a lot to Dublin GAA, and I know the thoughts of the council are with him and his family at this time. Richard, so what we did was we agreed that Richard would give a presentation to council on his vision following his appointment to Chief Executive of Dublin City Council. I'm happy that Richard's going to do this. I'm not proposing opening this up to questions because I know Richard has also met with each individual group individually and had a discussion and gone through things. So, Richard, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm just glad this isn't a March meeting. I have to deliver this in Irish. So, next slide there, Natalie, please. No, the first slide. Is it gone? No, it's the wrong one. Go on, yeah, keep going. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I've spoken to most of you over, I think, 8 different meetings with the various different groupings, and so I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning of the presentation, but just to sort of set out what the vision is and how I hope that we can all get there. So in 7 years' time, my vision would be that Dublin will be globally renowned as a city that is vibrant, clean, green, thriving, inclusive, livable and safe, and that by 2030, people will have noticed significant change and be saying things like, people are living over the shops now, I don't feel under threat anywhere I go. I really like the idea that they've invested so much in parks and trees and greening. So if we move to the next slide, and I mean, it's how we get there, and I see 4 strategic enablers, the practical and ambitious leadership, building a fit-for-purpose organisation, and integrating the effort and creating a sustainable funding base. So if we unpack each one of those one at a time, so the ambitious, next slide please, Natalie. So, I mean, for me, one has to be absolutely passionate about your city if you want to advocate on its behalf and influence the key stakeholders to have the same level of ambition as you have. That starts with working proactively with the Lord Mayor and you, the elected members, and goes on to government ministers and senior civil servants. We have to drive the delivery of the ambitions of the City Development Plan. A piece of that will be coming up later, to create sustainable communities where people have a place to live, work and have fun in. This will require us to exceed our Housing for All targets by optimising our relationships with AHBs and other state agencies, embracing adaptive reuse, deliver over the shop living opportunities and promoting the regeneration of key city centre sites. We must also deliver on our climate goals by decarbonising our buildings, fleet and public lighting. We also shouldn't be afraid to take a leadership role and coordinating the wider city community's response to this challenge. And the one thing that I would say came up consistently with all eight groups is doing the simple things well, getting the basics right. And that's everything from the roads maintenance piece, the grass cutting, tree planting and pruning, fixing lights, you know, getting those done consistently well. That'd be a large focus. Also, you know, we're a community of 6,000 in the City Council delivering for the citizens of Dublin, and my job is to be visible and to motivate and help manage my colleagues, and also to improve our communications as to what we do, how we do it, and that things are getting done, and letting you, our key stakeholders, know that that is happening. Next slide, please. The next piece to help deliver on that is building a fit-for-purpose organisation. And in practical terms, that's one where the whole organisation is citizen-focused and which can be enabled by embracing technological advances. And I think I said to you before that over the past number of months, we've been piloting the rollout of digital services to some of our outdoor staff to bridge that workforce digital divide. This will enable them to report on works completed and issues encountered, which will enrich the data sets that we need to be a more effective city council and delivering better outcomes for our citizens. This will require greater investment in developing a learning organisation that is accepting of technological advances in areas such as artificial intelligence, telemetry and data analysis, which will keep us more in tune with our citizens. When we know what we should know, that will enable us together to co-create measurable, ambitious and realistic business and operational plans that the entire city community can get behind. Now moving on to the third enabler, integrating the effort. And I suppose given our relatively recent experience dealing with the aftermath of that riot in Dublin and the impact of lockdowns on the city during COVID, there is a clear need and benefit for having a city coordination office. This will be a key enabler in delivering on our collective vision. It will help us coordinate our approach to severe weather events and issues that come up from time to time, and will ensure that we can maintain and expand our relationships with all our stakeholders, and in particular our regional colleagues. A multitude of government departments, state agencies, business groupings and community organisations impact on the functioning of our city on a daily basis, with little or no reference to each other. This office will ensure that key decision makers are aware of the impact that their actions can have on each other. At present, there are four key staff members led by a director of service. You would have got notification of that during the week. And they will be reporting initially into me directly and then to an assistant chief executive once final appointments for those posts have been made. Then finally, we have the... Natalie? No, next one. Yeah, and we talk about... Okay, creating a sustainable funding base. And it'll be no surprise to any of you, why does that keep popping around? That I will be advocating and promoting an increase in the local property tax at an appropriate time. I do believe we are missing opportunities in terms of that area. You know, the 15% reduction below the base rate is costing us 14 million per annum. And if you look at if we were to increase it, it would give us 28 million. And the improvement in services that we require will need additional funding. Also, the area of income stream maximisation. You know, I have said to you about the money that is owed on an annual basis by the HSE for providing the ambulance service on their behalf, 14 ambulances, and that is coming in. The annual run rate that we're not receiving is in excess of 18 million. And then there are other areas in terms of housing and our rents and all the bits and pieces that I think we need to have a reasonable discussion on as to how we can maximise our income to enable us to actually deliver improved services. In terms of the new funding streams, I say I've talked to a number of you, and it's nothing that you haven't said in this chamber around a potential bedroom tax on hotels. Not necessarily going to be the most, you know, popular piece with the hoteliers, but I do believe that if that any income derived from that were, I suppose, governed by a collection of ourselves and the industry in terms of delivering what they believe is needed and we believe is needed in the city streets, I think we have some chance of success. But again, it's not at our, you know, it's not in our control at this point in time. That is a matter for the Houses of the Oireachtas to bring forward the necessary legislation to enable that. And then if you bear all that in mind and the potential there of probably anywhere from 50 to 70 million, that would give us a degree of comfort to do some prudent borrowing to deliver on our capital programme. And most of the much-needed community and sporting infrastructure that isn't there is unfunded. And this is a way, the only way we'll be able to deliver it is by borrowing. But I don't want to be borrowing money and hammering the revenue budget, which will necessitate reducing the day-to-day basic services. So that is basically where we are. As you know, I went into it in far more depth with each individual group. But I think the clear message for me from those meetings was largely around getting the basics right. So that'll be the area of focus for the next number of months while we copper fasten our approach in different areas. So thank you very much for your time, both tonight and also throughout the, you know, the late January and early February. I know 2 hours for each group, you know, probably wasn't enough, but I'm happy to engage on an annual or biannual basis, or, you know, to discuss issues of mutual concern going forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Richard. Getting the basics right, I think, is very much... Getting the basics right is something I think we can all stand behind in terms of the city. So that's the end of Lord Mayor's business. We might kick on. All right, we'll go. Here we go.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Item number 2, Keshni Fevun Ordu Iverhookdeg. Is that agreed? Can I have a proposer? Councillor Vincent Jackson. And a seconder? Councillor Anthony Conaghan. Item number 3, correspondence that was received from the following local authorities: Offaly County Council, Mayo County Council, Wexford County Council and Sligo County Council. Is that agreed? Can I have a...
Councillor Mina.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I know we're only supposed to note this, but the correspondence from Mayo is disgraceful, and I propose that we do not put in the minutes that we noted. I don't think it's worth our consideration. And I think it's a disgrace. So I'm formally proposing that the minutes of this meeting would reflect we note all correspondence bar that one, or that one isn't included in, under correspondence in the minutes of the meeting, and that we do not note it. Thank you.
Sure how we can do that.
Noting is noting.
Yeah. We don't.
You cannot do it.
I'm not sure how we can't note correspondence received, to be honest. Yeah, it just means that we noted it, that we received it, Councillor Mina.
We note it with concern.
Yeah.
Noted with disapproval.
Okay, there we go. Noted with disapproval. Okay.
Could I have a proposer, please? Sorry, Councillor Terence Flanagan and a seconder.
Excuse me.
Councillor Ray McAdam. Is there somebody trying to come in?
No, hands
are up. Yeah. Item number 4, to confirm the minutes of the City Council meeting held on the 8th of January 2024. Are they agreed? Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Maura Devine and a seconder. Councillor Janice Boylan. Thank you. Item number 5, to fill one vacancy on the Climate Action Environment and Energy Strategic Policy Committee following the resignation of Councillor Mannix Flynn with effect from the 1st of February 2024. Do we have a proposer from the floor?
Michael. Councillor Connolly? Have you a proposal? Proposer for the vacancy, sorry. Yeah, have you, Michael, have you? Councillor Darcy Lonergan?
She's currently not present.
She doesn't have to be present.
Okay. Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
She does accept. So that's Councillor Darcy Lonergan. Can I have a proposer? Michael Pidgeon? Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Heaney. Okay.
Councillor Cooney, are you looking to come in? No, hands gone. Go.
Oh, I was just looking to second her. And I agree with, I just wanted to note that I agree with Councillor Meenahan on his not approving
six,
that.
Note.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Report number 14 of 2024 of the Chief Executive, proposed variation number 4 of the Dublin City Development Plan 2022 to 2028, Finglas Village Environs and Jamestown Lands, and incorporation of the Jamestown Master Plan 2023 into the City Development Plan for adoption.
Is that agreed? Agreed.
Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Vincent Jackson and a seconder? Sorry, Councillor McAdam. Thank you. Item number 7, report number 40, 2024 of the Chief Executive, in compliance with section 138 of the Local Government Act 2001, informing the Council of the works which are about to commence, and in compliance with the Planning and Development Regulations 2001, Part 8 development on Daly Mount Park, Fisborough, Dublin 7.
Councillor McGrattan.
Is that agreed? Or
I think Seamus is indicating he wants to come in.
Just propose.
Lord Mayor. Yeah, so I have Councillor Seamus McGrattan for as a proposer and Councillor Declan Mina to second. That agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Report number 45, 2024 of the Chief Executive, Dublin City Council Climate Action Plan 2024 to 2029. Can I have a proposal? And a seconder, please. Councillor Terence Flanagan. Is that it?
Yeah. Councillor Byrne.
Thank you. Just to say very quickly, as Chair of the SPC, I just want to thank the team for all their hard work in getting this climate action plan over the line. Look, there's not much good news in the climate space at the moment. We've probably reached 1.5 degrees. Our oceans are warming at an alarming rate, and we may have already passed the tipping point. And it may seem that these small plans are like small fry in an unfathomable challenge that we have ahead, but it's still so important that we play our part, because cities account for about 75% of global emissions, so we have a responsibility to do what we can. We've also seen our own impact in storms and flooding here in Ireland as well, not to mention the international events we're seeing taking place. So I just want to welcome the plan. I know the Net Zero City programme will help address the wider issues across the city. And we have a lot of big projects that will help us reach our emissions, like district heating, the traffic plan we're going to talk about, College Green, retrofit projects like Dominic Street, Pierce House, Glover's Court, active travel projects that we've just announced $54 million for, and the amazing team are going to deliver on them, circular economy, creative projects, nature restoration, which will help enhance biodiversity and protect us from flooding. And we know that local communities are the real drivers of change, so it's great to see work progressing on the two decarbonisation zones in Ballymunnan and Ringsend. And I'd also like to ask members to remind their local communities, who are the real drivers of change, that there's $2 million in the Climate Community Action Fund available and open for applications until the 6th of March. So please...
Thanks, Claire.
Great. I just thank the team.
Okay.
They've done tremendous work to get us to this point. So I hope that everyone here can support the vision that's set out in the Climate Action Plan and support the team in getting on.
Councillor Donna Cooney.
Projects. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to just to commend the chair of this for getting this passed here. But I also, I suppose, as we hear that, climate change is happening even quicker, that we've had the hottest year on record, has just been said, I'm really concerned that we're not getting the projects in terms of flood defences happening quickly enough. I really thought there'd be some news, we're nearly to the end of this 5-year term. And I thought something, we would even get some sort of a vision or some sort of drawings or something to do with the flood defence in Clontarf, and we can't even get a meeting. So I just want to voice my concern here that, you know, nothing's happening with the flood defences and we're not even getting meetings anymore. And I'm sort of concerned, really. The sea was very, very high there at the weekend. And if just luckily enough, there wasn't a high wind at the same time. But it was extremely high. The tide was very high. I'm just concerned that we're not doing anything. And I've been told the sandbags will be there forever and a day. And, you know, I was hopeful that we were going to have some progress on that. And we don't seem to be doing much with climate mitigation. And I am concerned about that. And I was informed that I would get an email or some correspondence in relation to it. And I'm still waiting. So thanks.
Gormagat, Councillor Alison Gilliland.
Yeah, I want to speak to the report, but I do actually think it's important that we have the presentation so that everybody is aware of what it is, may not have been involved, but also that the public, anybody is watching to it. So I just want to propose that. And what I want to say myself, I do agree every single action, whether it be individual or collective, matters. And unlike Councillor Cooney, I do think we, Dublin City Council, are leading in the city across transport, energy, biodiversity, waste management, buildings, school zones, flood defences. I just want to point out one thing. I was really disappointed with the number of submissions, 88. And I know the work that went into promoting it by our climate action team, by the SPC. But I suppose on the flip side, the majority actually agreed with our vision. Some wanted to go beyond it. And I think that's really, really good. The challenges that some of the submissions highlighted are also good for us to hear, because it gives us a steer as to where we need to put some energy. One of them, the Irish Green Building Council, mentioned the circular economy and the construction sector. And that's something we in the Housing SPC have timetabled for. I think it's our May meeting. We're doing a workshop on that, and anyone who wants to come along. But I just want to commend the plan. I think the way it cross-cuts all the sections or departments as opposed to standing alone, I think that will allow us more integrated and joined-up thinking. Thank you.
Janice, I'm going to take you before the presentation, or do you want to wait until after the presentation? Perfect. Derek.
Good evening, councillors. I suppose you'll all have received a fairly substantial pack there as part of this report for this evening. It includes the CE report on submissions, the final CAP document itself, the Natura impact report and the SEA report. So I'm just going to run through, it's only about 6 or 7 slides, just giving a short kind of summarisation of the climate action plan and ultimately request that you adopt it this evening. But firstly, I'd just like to thank my climate action team and the CARO office for the tremendous work they've done on this, and thanks to the members that have commented on the huge work that's been done over the last number of months. As you know, the Climate Action and Low Carbon Development Act 2021 kind of compelled all local authorities to prepare a local climate action plan in respect of its administrative area, and that these plans need to be adopted by the 24th of February. Work on our plan was going on well before that and has been ongoing since the last plan and the regular reports that were done to the SPC, and it's been a rolling item on the SPC over that period. Workshops have been held with staff who are implementing on the actions of the previous plan and who will be implementing the actions of this plan. And as was mentioned, the plan links to the objectives of the development plan, the local economic and community plan and the corporate plan, and takes on board the learnings from various projects, etc. The plan also incorporates the comments received via the public consultation between the 15th of September and the 2nd of November 23. So, as was mentioned, we received 88 submissions on the plan. I suppose I in one respect, you kind of would like to see a lot more submissions come in, but on the other hand, maybe everybody could see that the plan is quite robust. It's kind of covering all the aspects of what we need to do, and that the public are generally happy with it. So that's the side I'm taking from this. The vision is that we have a dynamic, sustainable city that is future-ready, built on thriving, inclusive neighbourhoods and communities, and a strong economy and vibrant cultural life, compact and connected growth. The targets are quite ambitious, as everybody knows, 51% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which is in line with our national climate action objectives by 2030, while striving for neutrality by 2050. And then, obviously, we're part of the Net Zero Cities project, which is the 100 Climate Neutral and Smart Cities project from the EU. We are aiming for a climate-resilient city prepared for the known and unknown impacts of climate change, and obviously a just transition, meaning that the actions we take do no harm. As I said, there was a number of modifications following the public consultation. I can go through each of them, but none of them were material to the AIA or the Natura impact. So a lot of it's just kind of text changes, minor in nature. There was about 7 or 8 of them in total, and covered the range of areas, including the appendices. I suppose next steps, obviously today we're looking for the members to adopt the plan. We plan to launch it along with our other local authority colleagues on March 6th. And this plan is the key element of our submission to the EU Net Zero Cities team as part of our Climate City contract. And then we'll be building on that over the next months and years, and bringing in further stakeholders into that Net Zero Cities project. So our plan will ultimately not just be about Dublin City Council's actions, it'll be the actions for the entire city and everybody who works, lives and visits it. And then obviously implementation of the plan and all the projects and changes that will fall out of that. So that's just a quick summary of the at a high level. And I suppose if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. Sabrina's here. We'll have all the technical information if required.
Margaret. Janice.
Gurmago Darvera. I just want to associate myself with the comments of the Chair, Claire Bourne, in relation to the team, and thanking them for all the work that they've done on this. We all know that we need to play our part on the climate. And we all know that small measures will help us to meet the big plans that we have. So I just think, you know, it is a pity that there was so little submissions. You would like to see more people, but the submissions that went in were very detailed. And as Alison said, they were mostly in agreement with the plan that Dublin City Council has on the table. So, Gurmagut Dadvira.
Gurmagut, Sophie.
Yes, thank you. You noted the low number of submissions, but I don't think the council needs submissions to know that Dublin City Council tenants are waiting for retrofits of their buildings, knowing that emissions from buildings is one of the major polluters in Ireland. That's something we need to be serious, and not just on paper, but acting on it, and retrofit every single Dublin City Council houses and apartments. We don't need submissions for that. We get letters and emails every day on this. Thank you.
Sophie. Sinead. I just like to disassociate myself with that photo. Natalie.
Is that adopted?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item number 9. Report number 51 of the Chief Executive Annual Service Delivery Plan 2024. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Doolan. And a seconder. Sorry, Councillor McAdam.
Councillor Dahi Doolan.
And many thanks to the management for producing this report. It's very detailed. I think it's an excellent report, and it measures the progress and I suppose the gains that we need to make into the future if we are to be a driving force for change in the city, right across from housing to social inclusion to the fire brigade. I suppose the few points that jump out at me is maintenance and voids around housing. And I just want to acknowledge the residents of Davitt House here from Drimna in the public gallery, who themselves have been mobilised and organised, demanding maintenance issues to be addressed in Davitt House. So I hope the council take their presence here as a motivating factor to engage directly with them to ensure those issues are dealt with as soon as possible. And there was an issue during the budget whereby the government had cut the funding towards maintenance of voids. And I'm wondering, is that still a challenge for the city? In a question that I did put to the management today, the cost of turning the voids around is absolutely colossal. And it's gone up by 30% in the last few years simply because of inflation. And I'm wondering, has the government's matched that inflation with the increased funding that we need to turn the voids around and also to maintain those occupied units that residents in Davitt House and Lissadel and other areas has the budget for that increased as well? And in relation to housing delivery, it's all about housing delivery as well to meet the housing crisis head on. And one of the issues I'd ask here today is, what could the central government do to trim back on the procurement process Councillor that is hugely bureaucratic? Many thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, a report on services you would expect, and we would have had over the years, many years ago, waste collection, household waste collection. And it's such a shocking state of affairs that we still haven't, despite the majority view in this chamber, that household waste collection be brought back under the control of Dublin City Council is something that the majority here believe in. And I would like to hope that with the new CEO and his vision of the city, that we can move back towards that and take waste collection out of the hands of the private collectors who are simply there for profit. And in many cases, and there's plenty of evidence of it, seem to be charging people for services that they're not even getting. Let's make that one of the things that we need to do over the next period of time. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Gur Magad, Councillor Declan Mina.
Gur Magad, Advera. I think there's a lot of really good work in this. My question relates to something which the Minister for Justice seems to think is in the service plan and I believe isn't. I serve on the board of the Caberfinglas Drugs and Alcohol Task Force, and they are trying to appoint a safety coordinator in the Finglas area. Can I confirm that Dublin City Council has no role in that appointment? Because according to the Minister for Justice, we do. And my understanding is we don't. But I might have misread the service plan, so could someone confirm that? Thank you.
Gormagod, Councillor Michael Pidgeon.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. My question was just about something that was announced in the budget, which seemed like a really positive thing, which is the multifunctional operational units, the idea that we'd have kind of smaller jobs being done that wouldn't have to be tendered out, public domain, maintenance works, that sort of thing. I don't see, now maybe it's just me searching through the plan, but I don't see them in the plan, and I'm just wondering if they're still envisaged to go ahead. Thanks.
Gormagod, Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
Gormagod, Ardmhéara, can the manager, in relation to the financial contribution scheme, advise what kind of work is being done to promote that scheme amongst individuals, many of whom I come across in my own ward of Clontarf, who want to move into City Council dwellings but want to sell their house? I know there's a change in the policy there which I was unaware of until very recently. Can the manager tell me what work has been done in that regard? Can he also confirm that there was no shortage of finances from the Minister for Housing in relation to the turnaround of voids last year, and that there will be no shortage of any required funding this year? And then last but not least, Cathaoirleach, as Chair of the Animal Welfare Oversight Committee, I'm really pleased with the advances that have been made around animal welfare. Specifically, I want to thank the manager for the support of himself and his team in the animal welfare unit, because there is seriously positive advances being made by Dublin City Council. We're recruiting staff. I think we're at, by the end of the month, we'll have recruited 5 additional animal welfare officers, and my aim and the aim of the members of the animal welfare unit is that at some stage in the not-too-distant future, we will have our own municipal animal welfare shelter to, I suppose, carry out the responsibilities under the law that we are obliged to do. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Dermot Lacey.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Well, I too welcome the fact that even though it was late in the day, the Minister for Housing did eventually cough up some of the funds we need for voids. And I think that only happened because those of us on this side of the House pushed him to do so, because there was a gap at one stage. So I welcome his change of heart. Can I clarify three things? One, can the manager just bring me through the process for developing the service plan? I mean, if I was on the board of directors of a company, you know, I'd have a discussion about the plan, and the managing director would bring it back and refine it and so forth. We get a finished product, and I'd just like to know what happens there. Secondly, if the manager could outline to us why there are delays in completing the voids. I mean, it's one of the most annoying things to many people that there's housing units that potentially people could live in and they're lying empty. I too would welcome very much waste collection coming back into the city. And I hope if that does happen, the councillors act in a different way than they did in the past, because we still will have to find the funding to deal with that issue. And it's easy to call for us, but, you know, let's see the delivery. And finally, Lord Mayor, this council has on a couple of occasions called for the creation of a new post of community warden that would incorporate the role of litter warden, dog warden, parking warden, which probably would be a far better use of people's time and resources and would be very much self-sufficient given the number of crises in the country. Can the manager just outline to us when that will actually happen? Yeah, no, you're okay, yeah.
Gormal Guthard Vera, this is about Dublin Fire Brigade, so I want to ask three questions. Has the crisis of recruitment and retention been addressed? What is the plan to recruit and train new recruits this year and next year? And then what contact has been made with the HSE to ensure they pay the 7.3 million, I can't even say, 17 million, sorry. I can't even say the words that they owe that money to Dublin City Council. So what contact has been made? What are we doing to ensure that the HSE pay this? Because it's a farcical at this stage. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Gormagut, Councillor Donna Cooney.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And there's a lot of good things in there, you know, particularly in the area of arts. Great to see the 10 artist studios and more to come, 50 more to come. So there's lots happening in there. Just wanted to ask about the tenders for the toilets and where are we getting that? And are parks putting out separate tenders? So where are we in terms of getting more public toilets that, you know, that don't need anybody to service them, you know, that, you know, across the city? Because I keep getting asked that question almost on a daily basis. You know, we were waiting since 2020 and there was various notions of cafe style docks with various ones, and it didn't happen, and we're in 2024 now. So I'm just wondering, you know, is that tender gone out? And and in terms of recruitment as well, where are we with that? You know, in terms of HR, are we online to recruit? Because I know there was some difficulties with getting out getting out the notice for recruitments for park wardens and various things as well. Thanks.
Gormagut, Councillor Moore Devine.
Yeah, Gormagut Ardvera. Just a couple of, I suppose, comments perhaps and a question. The transportation, nothing in it is saying anything about using what's the life of that's going through our city is the River Liffey. And just wondering whether or not we have any imagination, plans or vision to kind of improve what used to be a very busy hub of traffic via water. So that's one of the questions. The second one would be, how many vacancies have we got in Dublin City Council, and what department or section is mostly impacted by that? I know there are difficulties in recruitment and perhaps retention as well. I'm just wondering, what's the section that has the least amount of people interested in working in it or certified to work in it or trained enough to work in it? And one other thing that I'd really love to call for, and perhaps it's not within your remit in this draft, but certainly an improved relationship and understanding with Ishka Éireann. Myself and Councillor Doolan spent the festivities trying to sort out frozen pipes, no water, no sanitary ware water, no kitchen water in several complexes throughout Dublin South Central. I don't know about the rest of the area, but certainly there seemed to have been Billy to Jack and Jack to Billy, and we just didn't know what the story was.
Councillor Janet Horner. Yeah.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask on one very specific issue, which is the litter and dumping enforcement piece of the service delivery. I put in a question this evening about how prepared the council are for the rollout of the CCTV legislation, which is in operation from this Thursday. Just the answer I've got back, we've been waiting, I think, 2-3 years maybe for this to be finalised. And the answer I've got back this evening is saying that the DCC understands the Office of Wirla will now arrange to prepare a suite of documents to assist local authorities in preparing DPIAs and CCTV schemes, and an oversight body must be set up. And it is envisaged that all of the above will take some time, which is really concerning. We've been waiting a very long time to get to this point of having the CCTV legislation available and in action. We are here now, and it is still envisaged it's going to take some time. Who is responsible? I couldn't tell you much about Wirla at all. Who is responsible for overseeing Wirla? How do we accelerate the delivery of those documents if they are necessary? Are they necessary, or can we push ahead without them? Is the oversight body to be established by DCC or by the department or by Wirla? And how do we accelerate that? And how do we get to a stage where we are able to go to tender for the contractor to provide CCTV services as soon as possible? Because it's just not acceptable that we are going to be waiting even longer for this when we've been waiting so long already.
Gormagot, August. Damien O'Farrell.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yeah, no, I just want to ask a question again about the voids. And I suppose for people looking in, they're the boarded up Dublin City Council properties that are around the city. I would have brought this up about 10 years ago, more, maybe 12, 14 years ago, about as much as it's important to have money for voids, we also need staff. It's quite administration intensive to get staff to go out and organise doors and windows and kitchens, whatever has to be done. And many staff are working in this area that are dedicated to looking after our voids, please. Thank you.
Admin staff, I'm talking about
the indoor staff I'm talking about, Mayor. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, I just want to support Councillor Mar Devine, what she said about Ishka Air and British Water. I know constituents of mine since New Year's Eve in Gardner Street flats, O'Brien Hall and Upper Shamrock Dermot Street houses have been without water, and they're getting thrown from Billy to Jimmy and back when they get onto Irish Water. Likewise with sections of DCC. So nobody seems to be communicating. And also in relation to waste management, the manager confirm as to why there's three trucks, waste management trucks off the road in the north inner city under repair since December, and they're thus far they're not back on the road yet.
Gormaga Christie, August and Coynthor are Darren McRae.
Thank you very much, Ard Vera. To be honest, the issue about the CCTV, Councillor Horner, like Councillor Horner, I have a question in on the matter, and I have to say the response is far from satisfactory. Like, thanks to your office, Lord Mayor, I had a number of emergency motions on this that were unanimously agreed by Council. The Minister of the day indicated very clearly that we could proceed with a scheme for our own CCTV, and I attended the Councillor Burns SPC last week, and the response back from officials was less than satisfactory. Can we have a clear outline, a clear understanding of what the council's position is, so that at least we can then go back to government and say what you're saying does not tie with what the minister has said? We cannot afford to wait any longer for CCTV to be installed so we can proactively go after those scumbags that are dumping rubbish on our streets. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Gormagot, manager, and apologies. I know you've lots of responses to come back down there, but it was one speaker after. There wasn't a whole list, so we couldn't come to a couple and then a few more. So if we want to go ahead.
Okay, I'll take some of it, and then I'll ask my colleagues to come in. So just in terms of the voids, it is, I suppose, an ongoing issue, but we work our way through them, and Frank and his crew have managed to sort of, I think, double if not quadruple the output in terms of voids on an annual basis. I mean, it's also a factor of, you know, some of our policies in relation to, you know, allowing people to move two and three times. You know, we need to look at our process behind that as to whether we have to come in and do a complete retrofit each time, even though somebody might only been in situ for a couple of years. But that's something that, you know, I think Frank and his team are resolving fairly sharpish. So, but if Frank wants to come in after me, that's fine on that. In terms of the waste collection, you know, I think what we have is, and at the whole piece around illegal dumping, from a CCMA perspective, the County and City Management Association, we're trying to get through Wirla, trying to get a coordinated approach across the sector, because if we all do our own thing, it's somebody will pick holes in somebody's. So I'll come back to you in more detail on that when I've had a discussion at the next LGMA board meeting on it, if that's okay. Then in terms of Councillor Devine, in terms of improving the Liffey, you know, we are the water activation centre that's under construction at the moment, down where the old Docklands office will be, will enable more active use of that part of the lower Liffey. We have in the past funded the ferry service going backwards and forwards across the Keys, north to south, and it was a very good training programme for young apprentices, just in terms of, you might say, seafaring and things like that. I'm not sure where that is at the moment, but it was getting very, very limited uptake. And then in terms of the vacancies, you know, I would say we're probably about 300 shy across the organisation. And that's 300 out of, you know, 6,400. Well, it's, you know, but in terms of, you might say, trying to keep pace with the recruitment, in general, we run 100, 120 competitions per annum, and we end up with, you know, maybe a net increase across between retirements and people getting promoted or moving. We might end up with a net increase of 10 or 20 on an annual basis. So, you know, we're running and sprinting to stand still. But Councillor O'Farrell, in terms of the voids, I don't know, you know, if there's any real pressure on the indoor staff in terms of us needing more on that. But, you know, we are in a recruitment drive at the moment across all grades. And then just the DFB recruitment, that has been addressed. We did, I think, two fire recruit classes last year, and there's more this year. So that will enable us to reduce the amount of overtime that we're spending in DFB. You know, whilst, you know, it's very useful, it is excessive in terms of overtime and the demands we put on our firefighters and paramedics. So, you know, but that'll bottom out towards the middle to end of this year, in terms of once we get the next couple of recruitment classes in place, we will have the nearly the ideal number of staff there to take us through the next number of years. In terms of Ishka Éireann, as you know, we are not responsible.
Sorry, manager.
Oh, the finance bit. Yeah. Sorry, councillor. Well, listen, I've been since I took up the interim role, and since I've got the permanent role, I have been working with the minister. And we're trying to come to a resolution with the Department of Health in terms of bridging that gap. It's not just Dublin City Council that's affected, it's the other three Dublin authorities that are also affected. So we are, you know, we have agreed everything other than the quantum. The principle. Yes, well, I'm not, but Minister O'Brien is talking to the Minister for Health.
So, Deirdre.
No, we're not opening back this up.
No, I'm not, I haven't been speaking to him. So I don't know if I've missed anything there, Lord Mayor.
I had asked about the toilet.
Look, I'm not opening this. The manager's still speaking, please.
I had asked, and
Donna, he's not finished. He's not finished. Please.
Okay, Ishika Éireann, and as you know, we don't have legal responsibility for Ishika Éireann, and we're at the moment we're working through a framework document, so as the City Council staff. Those that want to stay with Ishika Éireann can, and those that want to remain with Dublin City Council can. And, you know, I'd be hoping for a bit of a bounce in terms of our workforce there, that they will be coming back to us. But that needs to be managed very carefully. As you're all aware, water supply in the Dublin region, for as long as I've been involved in local government, has been on a knife edge. And so we can't afford... You know, it would be great for me to be able to turn around on the 1st of April and sort of say, well, we're out of here, lads, you're on your own. That wouldn't work for anybody. So the water system has to work. And we, John and his team, you know, there is an exit plan there, and that'll happen across the year. But in terms of sort of, there have been pressure issues, and I think that's the one, I think, Councillor Doolan, that I was trying to resolve with you over Christmas, and it is a pressure issue. And that's down to the amount of water that's being supplied or can be supplied across the region. And so when the pressure reduces, it doesn't get up to the height that it needs to be. So, you know, and then the storage capacity possibly isn't enough then to deal with it. Yeah. And then in terms of the financial contribution scheme, I don't know
What have we done to promote it?
The financial contribution scheme now, which is this the community wealth building? Or the crowdfunding? Okay.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just in relation to a number of points that the Chief Executive said, I know Councillor Doolan, Councillor Heaney, Councillor Lacey and Councillor O'Farrell all mentioned voids. We did 1,080 voids in 2023 in Dublin City Council, which is the highest number ever. We received 50% funding from the department in relation to that, 26 million, and we got 50% of it back. In relation to Councillor O'Farrell's question on the number of staff, there are 5 internal staff working on the voids programme, and we have 12 contractors on the framework. In relation to Councillor Doolan and David House, and I'm delighted to see the residents of David House here this evening. We've done a lot of work in David House in relation to repair of gutters and downpipes. We've done a lot of work in relation to painting of pram sheds and power hosing and landscaping and removal of block trees and other things like that. I know that Councillor Nicolau approached me before the meeting, and I'm happy that we'll arrange a meeting with the head of maintenance, Ursula Donlan, in the next fortnight with you again to progress the works that have been started and the works and the representation that you have from CATU. I'll come back to you with the detail on the financial contribution, Councillor Heaney. In relation to the animal welfare, yeah, we had 2 new animal welfare officers started today. We've got 2 more in a fortnight. So I think thanks to your, you know, great work in relation to, you know, keeping on at that all the time, that you know, that animal welfare unit is properly structured now and hopefully will deliver. In relation to Councillor Devine and water pressure, I know that Robert and his team and others have been working at installing pumps in a lot of the complexes because of the reduction in water pressure, and I think that's assisted, and we have a plan to continue to do that. Lord Mayor.
Margaret, manager, are you finished? Yeah. Catherine, I'll let you in very briefly, but I'm not opening this back up. Catherine Stocker.
Sorry, thank you very much, Lord Mayor. It was essentially to say to the Chief Executive, with regard to the issue of staffing, I know your predecessor had said to me that one of the issues was that People entering our staff who have private sector experience are not recognised for that private sector experience. So it is very hard for us to recruit people above a kind of beginner grade because they don't get any prior recognition. And I mostly just wanted to call on our colleagues here who are in government parties to perhaps bring that to the attention of those in the Dáil who could perhaps make a difference on this, because I do think staffing is one of our very key challenges across all areas, and anything that can improve our situation with regard to attracting new recruits would be desirable. Thank you.
Kirsty, is it a point of information because you were already in?
Yeah, just the manager didn't answer when the three waste management trucks in the north and the city will be back in action.
Okay, Gur Mágat. Donna, again, as a point of information, because you were already in.
Yes, I didn't get an answer to my questions. He addressed Damien Farrell over the staff. I'd specifically asked about parks wardens, and I specifically asked about toilets.
Okay, Gur Mágat.
Whether we'd got anybody in on the tender. Thank you.
I believe the manager's going to reference Declan Mina and Dermot Lacey now in a second.
Specifically around the 30% increase, the cost of maintenance, has the government contribution reflected that? I asked that specific. Yeah, but 30% increase is creating the inflation at our side as well.
Manager.
Okay, just in relation to Councillor Stocker's query there on incremental credit, my understanding was that that had been resolved, but I'll check it out. And then just talking to John there, the maintenance trucks for the inner city will be back next week. And then I think Derek.
Yep. In relation to Councillor Amina's question there, to be honest, I don't have the answer, but I'll check with HR and come back to you tomorrow. Okay. In relation to Councillor Lacey's...
Thanks, Manager. Thanks.
...query about the process, it's an annual process. It's an evolving process as well. It refers back to the corporate plan and the framework that sets for the annual service delivery plan. It's arranged by function. The objectives are very much aligned as well with the approved objectives and the approved budget for 2024. And it's also aligned then with the NOAC KPIs. And this year as well, we've aligned it with the UN's Sustainability Development Goals. Now, I'm happy to meet with a selection of councillors for next year if they want to change that process and we can look at things differently.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we might do. Good, Margaret. Natalie.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. That's agreed?
Agreed.
Report
number Chair. My Lord Mayor, I've said it twice, and I didn't even get my questions even addressed.
Okay. Can we come
my
back
name
to
even mentioned. I do exist. I'm a councillor like everybody else.
Counselor.
You know, I would like to be respected as I respect
you. Yeah, okay, Donna.
Councillor, I don't have the information to hand, but I'll come back to you and the rest of the members over the course of the week.
Okay, Gur Mágat.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Item number 10, report number 42 of the Executive Manager in reference to the disposal of the fee simple interest under the Landlord and Tenant Ground Rents No. 2 Act 1978. Can I have a proposer? Councillor Vincent Jackson and a seconder, please. Councillor McAdam, is that agreed? Moving on then to item number 11, disposal of properties number A and B, if we could take them together. Report number 53, 2024, disposal of a plot of land adjoining 26 Eugene Street, Dublin 8. And then report number 56, disposal of a site 1 Parkview Road, Ballymun, Dublin 11 to Coolong Co-Housing Alliance, CLG. I can have a proposer and a seconder, please. Councillor Devine and and Councillor Conaghan. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Item number 12, granting of licences and leases. Item number A, report number 52, assignment of lease in respect of unit F2, Eclad Park, Malahide Park, Industrial Estate, Dublin 17. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Conaghan and a seconder. Councillor Devine, is that agreed? Report number 54, lease of the Muriel Boothman Centre, Ballyowen House, Fonthill Road, Clondalk, and Dublin 22. Can I have a proposer? Councillor Jackson and a seconder. Councillor Devine.
Councillor Deasy.
Is that agreed? Does somebody want to come in there?
No.
No, agreed. Sorry.
Item number C, report number 55, lease of the ground floor creche at Thornton Heights, Inchicore, Dublin 8, to the Family of Resource Centre at CLG. I need a proposer. Councillor Mina and a seconder. Councillor Nicolau. Is that agreed? We move then on to item number 13. Report number 46 of the Assistant Chief Executive Social Housing Supply and Delivery Monthly Update Report. May I have a proposer? Councillor McAdam and a seconder. Councillor Nicolau.
Councillor Doolan.
Many thanks, Lord Mayor. Again, thanks to the management for an excellent report. There's some very good news in there, particularly around Springvale and the allocation of units there, which is long overdue. But they're being allocated, and that's great. I suppose one of the issues I'd ask manager is to clarify what is the delay in tenants moving into Eleanora Court when they were told they were the good news, I think, 12 weeks ago, and are still waiting to move in. If we could clarify what the issue is there. And in relation to Caruba House in Crumlin, it's under judicial review and is still on course to be delivered in 2025. And Lissadel Maisonettes, what are the redevelopment options as outlined in your report, and when will management be engaging with residents to discuss them and to ensure it moves ahead while also carrying out the much needed maintenance issues there? And what's the plan to engage with residents on the maintenance issues? And my final question is this: the huge delay of some of the housing projects, which is not anybody's responsibility here or yours or any of your staff. We have like the Cherry Orchard Park West, which is due, it'll take 5 years to develop. Cherry Orchard Plaza, 5 years to develop. Springvale took 5 years while it was meant to be a rapid build. So what could the Minister or Department do to pare back on the bureaucracy, to reform the public procurement policy or process, to ensure that we can deliver houses at far greater speed than is currently taking? You look at the Poolbeg Peninsula, it is bogged down in bureaucracy for several years, and the other ones, be it LDA or Dublin City Council, it seems to take years and years and years to build a unit. Ray so what McAdam. Can we do?
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. I want to begin by welcoming the Stage 1 funding approval for Dominic Street West, which will be another significant housing project in the north inner city. Would the manager just indicate to us what the time frame is for the next stage, the preparation of Stage 2? I have shared with his office earlier information provided to me by Irish Water relating to problems in North King Street, similar to Gardiner Street, water has been out in a number of the duplexes there for at night for at least 6 to 8 weeks. And can we just arrange that? What Irish Water have asked for, that those matters be dealt with. We had a very useful consultation regarding Croke Villas down in Ballybock last Thursday night, and we have another one in Stanley Street next week. And I just think it's key that these projects are moving forward, and the way in which the consultation is taking place with local communities is to be welcomed, and just we'll put that on the record. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Gormagut, Councillor Sophie Nicolau.
Thank you. I have three questions. One is regarding the acquisitions of Part 5, so with housing approved housing bodies, so that's 25, so that's hundreds of units. And how can the contract between Dublin City Council and the owners there be reviewed? If I take the example of the Davit, and that we learn from our mistakes, so how can a contract like that be reviewed? Another question is, how can a tenant on Band 1 with medical priority go from number 1 and not being offered any houses to number 23? I have a specific example, but as well in general. And also, when we meet with Ursula, can we as well ask what's the time frame for the wall insulation for David House? So that's my three questions. Thank you.
Gurm Mahagath, and finally, Councillor Michael Pidgeon in this round.
My question was just about the housing at the Emmett Roadlands. Planning was granted July 2023. I haven't heard officially, but I've heard that the tender process for the main contractor could only be finishing in June 2025. I know these things move slowly, but that seems very, very slow to move from planning approval to even just concluding the process of appointing a contractor in essentially 2 years. I'm just wondering if that's accurate or if there's a different timeline. Thank you.
Practicing for next month, Gurmagut Lord Vera. In relation to Councillor Doolan, Springvale, yeah. I'm happy that at long last, you know, the units have been allocated. I understand from Colette and her team that... Keys will be distributed at the end of February, so that's all very good news. Kruba House, I know you raised that with me previously. Yeah, it is under JR, but we would hope that we will be able to hold to the time frame, Councillor Doolan, in relation to 2025. In relation to Lissadel, we spent reasonable money on Lissadel last year. I've committed to attempting to do the same this year to improve that in 2024. If we go down the regeneration route, with the issues that we have in relation to, you know, resources and labour and all that, it's so time consuming. So we've gone with the Enhanced Works Programme. We've done similar with David, and we've got bigger plans there. We're going to do similar with Canon Mooney, and we're going to look at others as well. I share your frustration in relation to, you know, 5 years for Cherry Orchard, 5 years for Springvale, 5 years. I suppose, looking in the entirety, that's kind of what it's taking. The Chief Executive and myself did meet with the Cabinet Committee for Housing in relation to how we could, improve the time frame in relation to that, with some ideas in relation to that going forward. Councillor McAdam, yeah, good news in relation to Dominic Street.
Sorry, Eleanora Court. Ron, coming back.
I'd appreciate if you come back at the end, because in the last one, everybody jumping in shouting, it just doesn't work. So if we have further questions, we can come back in at the end, please. It'll just make for a better meeting.
Yeah, I will come back to you now. Dominic Street West, yeah, stage one, it's good. You raised the issues with me in relation to Irish Water and North King Street and Gardiner Street. I raised those with Michelle and the team today, and Robert is looking again. Seem to have issues all over the city in relation to water that we didn't have previously. I'm glad about the consultation is working well in Croke Villas and Stanley Street, and hope that works out. In relation to Part 5's, Councillor Niccolo, I'm very happy the way the Part 5 programme is operating in the city. We have about 80 agreements in place, 1,266 units, 920 going through the system, and I think it's 366 that are in the bag. I'll talk to the Part 5 team, and I'll talk to Lorraine in relation to contracts to be reviewed, and we'll come back to you with an update on that. I don't know what happened in relation to the tenant number one going to tenant number 23. If you provide me with the specific details, I'll give you an undertaking to look at that. In relation to David House, I know you've been a great champion for David House, as has Councillor Doolan, and glad to see them here, and we'll keep at that. I'm going to pass Councillor Pidgeon in relation to Emmett Road to Michelle.
Thanks. Thanks, Councillor. I understand that it's in a detailed design process at the moment, and that this will take some time. So in terms of the exact timeline for planning, I know the detailed design will take some time, and then obviously the documents will have to be prepared. It will have to go to tender. It will have to adhere to all of the regulations around tendering. Then it obviously has to sit. So when the actual construction team will be on site, I can come back to you. I'll ask Sandra to give me the date and we can email it to you. But I do understand, like, it can sound long, but there is a lot of steps in between now and then. Thanks.
Gormagat, Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
Gormagat, Ord Fair. Manager, just from my own understanding, page 933, you talk about these are acquisitions, Part 5 acquisitions, and in some of them, I'm looking at Esmond Avenue and Fairview and Collins Avenue, in Colchester. I'm just wondering, when it says units to be agreed, are they where the actual location of the unit is as opposed to the number of units? And just well done on the Part 5 acquisition. It's really great to see 920 in the current pipeline. And last but not least, Lord Mayor, it's just so positive. I wish there was more to see the affordable units in O'Devany and Oscar Traynor Road. Thanks.
Margaret, Councillor Dermot Lacey.
Lord Mayor, first of all, despite the low numbers, relatively, it is worthwhile welcoming the gradual increase in house building. And I do welcome that. I think it needs to be ratcheted up hugely, but I welcome the progress that has been made. Four quick questions. Just, Manager, in relation to the IGB site, where are we at? Are we ever going to get these 900? Well, I believe we will get them. When are we going to get them? What progress has been made in relation to them? I slightly disagree with the manager in that I don't think 10% any more is good enough. I mean, in my own village of Donnybrook, there's probably about 2,500 new units being built over the last couple of years, the next couple of years. We're going to get about 150 of those. I don't think that's good enough. We need to press the government to amend that legislation back to 20%. I understand that the cost is an issue, but that is crazy. Developers and builders bought sites knowing the existing requirements. You know, I don't actually care how much they have to be paid for. We need to house people, and we need to do that quickly. It's the state that's made a mess of this. Last question. Just, I've heard a lot of complaints from tenants and AHBs in recent times, and it doesn't seem to be a sufficient way for them to engage with their landlord, and I think we need to improve that. And finally, I 100% agree with Dáil Éireann. Public procurement policy and the decision-making process of the department are both huge contributors, and we need to resolve that.
Margaret, Councillor Clareburn.
Thank you. I also welcome the figures. However, just in relation to the Poolbeg West development, it's very disappointing to see that we maybe have 100 this year, but not. Then we'd be waiting another 2 years at least for the remaining of the social element. But we also still have no agreement on the 15% affordable and cost rental. And I did ask you for an update last month, Manager. So I did put in a motion at our area committee earlier, which was agreed, requesting a special meeting with the local councillors to update us on what's happening, because this development is flying up and we still don't know what's happening with the 15% affordable and cost rental. And the suggestions that we would accept less than 15% or the full 25% in the initial phases is just not good enough. And so we agreed to write to the Minister for Housing again to request movement on this to ensure that the affordable homes are affordable and that the full 25% is delivered at every stage so that those who are in real need of housing aren't waiting another 10 years. And we want to establish the community forum that was promised in 2022 because the residents have no platform to address their issues. And this is one of the biggest housing developments in the country. It had a very unique special agreement to deliver the 900 social and affordable homes. It required a very unique special approach that hasn't been delivered. And we cannot let people wait any longer for these 900 social and affordable homes while Johnny Ronan's profiting from the private, you know, really high-end, really expensive.
Grimalgut, Councillor Maura Devine, please.
Grimalgut, Art Vera, three questions. First one, being a member of four regeneration boards in the Dublin 8 area, would you agree that it is best practice to front-load community infrastructure facilities prior to the refurb or the new builds of for regeneration? And what are your thoughts on the Oliver Bond community, which has been under a lot of serious pressures in various ways of their community facility being within the building and being front-loaded? The second question would be, can I have a clear and concise report as to, I don't know even how we call it, it's warranties following contractors' building of our units. Who's responsible when? When is that relinquished? How?
If it, even in tabular form of the various things, I'm just thinking something like home bond, which you used to get a 10-year guarantee. I just want to know what guarantees we have. And the very last one is, you'll all remember or know of Emmett Road, the old St. Michael's development. We have come up now with a very, very innovative and creative process, public consultation, that was held a couple of weeks ago for the new naming of it. And we will be announcing it, but not today. I'm not spilling the beans, but hopefully at the next South Central Area Committee. Gurmagot.
Or of Mahagot. Manager.
Thanks again, Lord Mayor. Councillor Heaney. Acquisitions of Part 5, that relates to the numbers, and it also relates to the negotiations that would happen between Dublin City Council in relation to funding. So we need to agree a price. Lorraine would do that through the valuers and then down to the department. So that's what we're talking about there. So when I spoke about Part 5s earlier, you talked about closed agreements. You talked about agreements in place at negotiation stage or funding approved. There's all various different stages to get to closed and in the bag. Thanks for your comments in relation to affordable and ODG and OTR, and maybe Michelle will come in later. Councillor Lacey, yeah, gradual improvement in the numbers of units coming on stream. Thanks for God. Yeah, in relation to the Part 5 and 10%, I'm in agreement with you in relation to that. I'm in agreement with you in relation to that, in relation to the 10%. I think Michelle's going to speak more in relation to that as well. I'll talk very generally in relation to the glass bottle site. Phase 1 is 570 units, Councillor Byrne and Councillor Lacey. We have the 10%. Part 5 in place. The affordable, the subvention is probably something that the department and others will need to look at, because it's not enough to make them affordable, but we're looking at that. Back to Councillor Lacey in relation to tenants and approved housing bodies. If you give me some details in relation to any issues that you have in relation to that, I'll follow up with Aisling and her team. She's really on top of that. Yeah, again, in relation to public procurement and it being so slow, look, these are the operating rules and these are the procedures that are in place. I know they can be, glacial at times, but they are the rules that are in place. Again, Councillor Byrne, just going back to Poolbeg, 57 and 35 in phase one on affordable, and they're all the one beds, because we could make those affordable with the subvention. Again, I'll ask Michelle to speak, but I agree with you in relation to an increase in subvention. Happy to organise the special meeting that you spoke about. And in relation to the community forum, I got your note today, in relation to, I read it today. I think we'll look at that. I think it's important that in all of the developments that we are proceeding with in the city, that local residents should have an input. Councillor Devine, 4 regeneration boards in Dublin 8. I agree with you. I would. Would you agree about front-loading community facilities? Of course I would, 100%. And I think that, in fairness to senior officials in the department, I think their thinking is coming around to that as well. The Oliver Bank community facility, yeah, I think we're listening there. And I think that we are listening very carefully to the regeneration forum there. The warranties for works, I don't know if you're just talking about general works or you're talking about wide works or you're talking about all sorts of works. I know myself in relation to the Void programme, because I have personal experience of that, is that the clerk of works have oversight and they don't sign off until they're satisfied. so nobody gets paid until our clerk of works, who have oversight and contractors who are doing work, so they're happy. And I think that we have a one-year guarantee going back.
Carmeleshkel, I'm not entering into competition.
And yes, in relation to the naming, I noted your comments. Michelle, do you want to come in?
Thanks. It's in relation to the affordable programme. I think the SPC on Wednesday is going to be looking at that in the kind of the whole and looking at cost rental and affordable and our delivery pipelines. I suppose the different stages of delivery that we have and what's approved and what is in proposal. So we'll have more information on that. On part five, there is now 20% part five, I suppose, and that's kind of the 10% social and the 10% affordable. So that is under the Housing Act of 2021, and depending on when a developer would have bought a land or would have put in planning permission, they will now have to put 20% under part five. And what we're starting to see now is those planning permissions come in. So as Frank said, kind of Lorraine and her team negotiating, that's coming on stream in 2024, and I think by the end of the year we'll start to see that delivery stream come through. We kind of still need to work through it, and Lorena is going to be engaging with developers, but you'll certainly start to see that, and we'll be reporting on that and engaging with you on that.
Lord Mayor, could the manager circulate a note on that too? Because I think it would help all councillors monitor applications in their areas.
Yeah, we can do that, Lord Mayor.
Just in relation to Poolbeg, and I suppose that'll be under affordable as well. But again, we're waiting for the agreement, the kind of the high level agreement, to be signed off with the department. As you know, there's kind of three parties in that agreement, so we need to get that signed. Then we can agree the part five, and that will also contribute towards agreeing the affordable on that. But as Frank said, I think we're going to be meeting with you on that. On the warranty, it is 1 year for works. Once we have, and at that stage, that's when tenants, we kind of try and get tenants to move in as quickly as possible so that we're testing kind of all of, you know, the heating system and the lifts and making sure that everything is used and coming back. We're very conscious of the year, so we're very quick to come back to the contractor during that time to make sure that we're kind of covering any issues off during the warranty. So if tenants have any issues and they've moved in somewhere new, they should be letting us know. They can come in through housing maintenance and let us know, but we'd really appreciate them flagging that at an early stage. Thanks.
Gur Margot. Councillor Janice Boylan.
Gur Margot Arvera. So I just want to start off by saying I have two comments and two questions, please. So I just want to agree with Comrade MacAdam in relation to the consultation with local councillors and communities in Stanley Street and Crokefillis. It's just, we're always saying consultation is the best way forward. We've seen it in this instant. It absolutely does work, and it's brilliant. And it's just great to have the information at hand and see the locals engaging with it as well. Can I just also commend Aislinn Brown on her brevity in dealing with the James McSweeney issue that I brought to her attention there about a week and a half ago. So I just want to put that on record that she sent out an email to all of the councillors when I alerted her to what was going on at the building. So I just want to say thanks for that. The questions then are North King Street, AHB. The works are due to recommence, but what's the timeline for the recommencement, and are we still on track for a completion at the end of 2025? And then the final question is, we compiled a list of flat complexes that need regeneration and demolition to be rebuilt a number of years ago under Brendan Kenny and Derek. Can I have a realistic time frame on this? For example, St. Mickens is the oldest flat complex on the north side. It's a Herbert Sims design, but the people that are living there are really living in Dickensian conditions, and it's unacceptable. So if we can just get a realistic time frame so we can at least just say that. Gurmah Guthard Vera.
Castle Darren Moriarty.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just one question in relation to the report on how we give information out about the AHBs. And I know, just to follow up on what Councillor Boylan was saying regarding Aislinn, she's always makes herself very available and responds to a numerous AHB issues that do crop up. And I just want to pick up on something that my own colleague, Councillor Dermot Lacey, said when talking about AHBs in general. You know, one AHB is very different to the next, so I think we should just be careful about talking about them as one group. But in this report, when we get notification of an AHB being involved in a project, sometimes the AHB is named and sometimes it isn't. Is there a reason for that? And where possible, could the AHB always be identified, just so we know as local reps what AHB would be dealing with? And one example here is AHB Kilmainham, Dublin 8. You know, where in Kilmainham? We don't have any much information about whereabouts. The second point I want to raise, and it's a kind of much bigger one, and I'll try and squeeze it into 30 seconds, is it's just on Dolphin House. And Frank, you mentioned yourself that you and Richard were in meeting with the Cabinet Subcommittee on Housing. And on Dolphin House, you know, you're looking at phase one, about 60 units. You're looking at a senior sits, about 40 units. So in 10 years, we've only seen 100 units on the Dolphin site. And projections estimate that we'll be into the mid-2030s by the time that project is completed. So just what is being done to try and unblock some of those time delays that we're seeing? And I know, Michelle, you already alluded to Councillor Pidgeon, the delays we're seeing in different
sites. Good morning, Councillor Moriarty. Thanks very much, Councillor Lord Mayor. Pat Dunn, please.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, the housing supply report has two very important aspects to it. Cost rental homes, 3,362 planned, affordable porches, 1,743, over 5,000 homes in those categories, about 30% of the total that we're planning. I want to point out a problem that we're having with cost rental. The LDA, Land Development Agency, advertised a number of schemes recently. And it turns out that you would need an income of €48,000 to meet the criteria that the rent couldn't be greater than 35% of your income. So we have excluded by accident, and I mean by accident, a whole raft of people whose earnings between 41,000 and 42,000, which is our cut-off point for a couple, and what the LDA are saying is the minimum income that is required. We can't allow that to happen. We're disenfranchising a whole raft of ordinary workers, from bus drivers to postmen to clerks and nurses and a whole the people we aimed it at. Manager, I'm asking you to raise this with the department. If you go in and you have a look at the LDA website, you'll see the scheme, you'll see what they required. And it needs to be addressed.
Councillor Vincent Jackson, please.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thanks, Frank and Red, for the report here today. Just in relation to the report, and I agree everything that Councillor Doolan brought up earlier on, particularly about public procurement, the scheme we have at the present time, I have to say, some of these developments would have been built for a third of the price if they had been constructed in the early part of that discussion process. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years ago, some of them. Just on this chart we get on a monthly basis, is it possible to put down a timeline of when the project was first mooted? Because I think we'll be shocked in some instances there, and I think it'd be a fair aspiration that we're able to track then the type of time span that we had there as well. Just in relation to the De La Salle site in Ballyfermot, that the apartments are flying up there with Dwyer Nolan, I know we will get, 93, 94 of them under the 10% rule. When will we see them on the chart here in front of us here at some stage? And just in relation to the development at at the top of Chapel Lizard Hill here, the old Faulkner site here, the City Council, I know, has taken an option on all these developments. So why is it down here that we're taking 18 of them? It's the same development. I'm just saying, I don't know whether it's a categorisation in relation to that. And just lastly, not least, just Roseville Court in Drumfin Road in Ballyfermot is a very old City Council development built in the early 70s. With a lot of single people, persons in them. Just at some stage, it's obviously going to be due for redevelopment, and maybe the manager could look into that. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Very good. Manager.
Margaret, Lord Mayor. Councillor Boylan, consultation, best way forward. Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I think I've already said that same to Councillor Byrne in relation to others. I want to thank you actually publicly for your swift action in making the James McSweeney awareness to Aisling and myself in relation to that. And I think we got all the information out very quickly and we got it to the Gardaí, and just want to thank you publicly for that. In relation to North King Street, I don't see any reason why we should be delayed past 2025. I think if there's a kind of a common element tonight, there's a frustration in relation to procurement and slowness and going through the process. And I suppose, you know, Councillor Jackson, if, you know, if we'd started earlier, yeah, it would have been less costly. In relation to the flat complex listing from Brendan Kenny's time, I'll get a look at that. I'll get a review of it, and I'll make that available to all the members. Yeah. I'm going to look at what you're saying in relation to the AHB's Councillor Moriarty. I know that Aisling is, you know, she's just an absolute star in relation to the AHBs, and some good, some not so good. I don't know. I don't know why we don't name them. We'll come back to you on that. In relation to Dolphin House, yeah, we've been at this a long time. And, you know, I think it's probably time to look at another stream of delivery here. I think we can probably do the next phase ourselves. But we might need to look and come back to the Chamber with some proposals in relation to a further delivery. I'm going to skip Councillor Dunn, because I'm going to ask Michelle to do it. Just say to Councillor Jackson, yeah, in relation to, you know, delays, we've had delays, you know, procurement and procedure and all that. In relation to the old Rossdale Court, I think 1970s and the redevelopments, certainly wouldn't mind discussing that with you and just see where we are in relation to that. And I'll come back to you on Sal and Old Faulkner with a detailed update. And maybe the issues raised by Councillor Dunn on affordable, I'll pass over to our expert on affordable. And I think everybody should check into the SPC on Wednesday when I know Councillor Gilliland asked Michelle to do a detailed report, and I've seen the report, and it's actually worth seeing it. So, Michelle.
No pressure there, Frank. Thanks. Okay, just in relation to Councillor Dunn on the LDA. I suppose, first of all, just to note the number of units coming through. Like, we do have 5,000 coming through in the pipeline. And I mean, that is a really good number that's coming through. It is kind of a mixture between affordable purchase and it's cost rental. We obviously will have our own cost rental. The LDA have the LDA are part of that stream that are delivering with us on our sites, but they also have their own stream where they're delivering on other sites, and you'll see they've land agreements that have come, I think went to the Cabinet last week for a couple of sites, but also where maybe they've engaged directly with developers. So we don't have any input to those. They would be based on the costs of the delivery. So I take your point, though. I mean, I know with cost rental, there are a number of things that kind of go into the equation that then come out that determine what the rent is, and it can't be more than 35% of your income. So the rent for a unit has to actually pay for the maintenance, for the management, for the build over the lifetime of the scheme. And we don't have input to those schemes, I don't know what the costs were in the first instance. We will have more input to the ones where we're kind of providing the sites, so we'll have a greater insight into how those costs are. But it is something I think that the department are aware of. It is something that AHBs are raising with them. It is also something that the LDA are aware of, and I know that they are bringing it to the department as well, because there is that gap. And, you know, we do want to address that gap. The idea of cost rental, it is that it does do that, and that affordable housing does that as well. So it is a good point. I'm just saying with some of them, we can't actually influence it, but it still needs to be raised. Sorry, now for...
Lord Mayor, could I just say that thanks very much, Michelle, for the response.
and I'm glad you recognise that there is a gap.
I'm not opening up. I haven't let anybody else do that.
Lord Mayor, we're not in a rush to finish.
Councillor Seamus McGrath,
Lord Mayor, are you in a rush to finish the meeting? Because
no,
I think
I'm not, but everybody gets the same opportunity to speak.
This is hugely important for a whole raft of people in this city.
Well, then indicate that you want to come in. You're not opening
the
conversation. No.
You're simply, that's what you're
I'm
doing.
I'm not.
And you've been doing it.
Pat, there's no provision in standing orders for you to start just speaking directly to the managers. That's not how we contact the meeting. If you want to come back in, you put your light back up and maybe we'll let you back in. But you've spoken and you've had the same opportunity to speak as every other councillor. And I have a list for other councillors wishing to speak. And we're going to get through that list. Councillor Seamus McGrattan, please.
Good morning, Lord Mayor, and thanks to Frank and Michelle for the report. Just another one, Frank, on the frustrating delays. Focus Ireland was given permission to build in the Dominican lands in Carver back in 2022. They haven't started yet. The report here says that we're waiting for the tender to be complete for a contractor. Have we any role in that? Is there anything we can do to move that on? Because that's obviously much needed housing there, and it's going on a long time. The second one is the old maintenance depot on Bruin Bridge. There was an issue with the planning. It has to be resubmitted. Do we have a timeline of when that will be resubmitted, Gormagat?
Gormagat. Councillor Donna Cooney.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pleased to see the 140 odd tenant in situ purchases, also the amount of part five, and I'm glad to see the number in the north central area as well. I just had a question in terms of, you know, so for the affordable, I know we're going to get a detail on the affordable at the housing, and I'm a member of the housing SPC. I'm delighted that, you know, we will be get that in detail. But I'm just wondering, like, say here in the North Central, we've got the Cromcastle underpass site. We only list the 13 social in that. Is that the way we're going to do it now? Because there is 148 units. So do we not list those in that then, because it's not in our list? And then when I counted up the amount of cost rental, it doesn't equate to what we have in the, so I can't find the amount of cost rental in the area. And also, if somebody moves into a new part five and there are works to be done, if it's under an approved housing body, how do they go about, you know, getting those works done? You know, there's always snag lists, I suppose, with the new dwelling. But, you know, if they're ones that really need, like a leaking sink or, you know, a broken back door that doesn't work or something, you know, who do they go to? Because, you know, they're asking us as councillors, and it's a sort of a fairly new thing, sort of, you know, anyway, I don't know.
Councillor Alison Gillenan, please.
And thanks very much, Frank and Michelle, for the report. Just a few questions. What is your experience at the moment when we are procuring for developments? I'm thinking of the bundle three there, and we're saying it's 18 months. Are we getting people responding? You know, how has the market changed? On the adaptive reuse, those units are going for social housing, and I'm conscious that we need that social balance, particularly in the city centre. And I'm wondering, have we broached the minister with regard to having some of those units that we're bringing back to use be allocated to cost rental so that we have that social mix? On the tenant in situ, I know there was a lot of anxiety in the beginning when the eviction ban was lifted with regards to applications. So what is it like at the moment from a trend perspective? Many people have mentioned the AHBs and our interaction with them. We do have a memo of understanding between ourselves and them, so perhaps we need to recirculate that to them. And then can we organise, or I'll organise, that everybody gets a link to the Housing SPC meeting on Wednesday for those affordable housing presentations? Thank you.
Gormagat. Councillor Keith Connolly.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thank Frank and Michelle for their work. Just a quick query on Ballymun. I think Site 12 and 14 is outdated in the report. I know there was Part 8 when I spoke to Michelle a few months ago. I think there was issues around density. I just wonder what the update is on that. And also on Site 1, I think expressions of interest went out. What's the feedback in relation to that? I know an Oireachtas colleague maybe talked about the LDA getting involved. There's not enough expressions of interest from other parties. Has that been explored? And just to put on my record the thanks to the attendance issue team, they're actually very good to deal with. Unfortunately, in our area, we also deal with Fingal and they're not as good. So just to thank the particularly Laura as well, she's been very, very good helping trying to get those closed.
Gormagut, manager, please.
Gormagut, Lord Vera. Just going to take the opportunity in relation to tenant in situ, because a number of members have raised it just now. In the actual report that went out, there was, because it's transferring over from 2023. So in the tenant in situ, we have 323 units in play at present. It doesn't say that in the report, but it will next month. Initial contact and awaiting tenant checks, in other words, RAS or HAP, so there's 100. With the building inspector, 28. With valuers, 36. And with law for conveyancing. Now, a lot of that would have come from last year as well, 159. So our tenant in situ pipeline is still really good, and I'm delighted about that. In case nobody asks me tonight in relation to St. Andrew's Court, we had some good news on that today. There was a title issue, as an awful lot of people will know. St. Andrew's Court's been going on for a long time, since Mr. Kenny was Taoiseach. A title issue arose. Today at the South East Area Committee, the committee agreed to the resolution proposed, and subject to approval at this council in March, Osqueilge, we propose to commence the Part 8 planning process in relation to that. Also, I just wanted to give a few updates in relation to our traveller accommodation unit, which Tony Smithers manages. The LTACC is working really well, and the staff are working closely with the committee to progress capital works and draft a new traveller accommodation programme. On the caravan loan scheme, and I know a lot of people would be interested in that, we received funding for 8 in 2023. We allocated those very quickly, and we got additional funding of another 2 from the department, which hadn't been taken up by other local authorities. We provided 9 emergency caravan grants, and 3 of those were specifically built for those with medical needs. Under the dormant accounts funding, the council we're going to fund 2 playground facilities for traffic-specific sites in Labrie Park and in St. Dominic's. The Carra Park retrofit programme is 80% complete. And we had a very positive meeting in relation to Labrie Park with Clwyd recently. And in relation to waste management for all of our authorised traveller accommodation sites, weekly bin collection services across all sites will commence in 2024. Each household will receive an 1,100 litre bin, and it'll be collected weekly. And it's our plan to provide recycling bins in 2025, and also to carry out an education programme in relation to that. In relation to Focus Ireland and the Dominican Land, Councillor McGrattan, I'll come back to you exactly where we are with that. And similarly, in Broombridge, I think Councillor Cooney, I've spoken at length in relation to the tenant in situ. You've raised that with me, and I've seen the presentation for affordable and cost rental for the SPC, which the chair of the SPC asked that we present, and Michelle will do that on Wednesday. Councillor Gilliland, our experience in relation to contractors engaging with us is very good. We have 12 on the void framework. We don't have any issue retaining them. Look, it's very solid work. It repeats itself. You don't have to wait to be paid by Dublin City Council. We knew this was coming in relation to the adaptive reuse programme, didn't we, in relation to social and affordable and cost rental. I'd be very for that. I think I'd be very for a tenure mix everywhere across the city. Thanks for your comments in relation to the tenant in situ, and that was why I gave that update in relation to the numbers, because it was excluded. We will ensure that the link is provided to all the members for the housing SPC at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, and we'll get Ruth to do that tomorrow morning, so it goes out to everybody. You come on in there.
Thanks. I might just go back to some of the comments on the AHBs. Just in terms of the omission of the name, I'd say that's just an error. Like, we would never not say the AHB when they've been decided and when they've gone to the area committee. Then it's public, and we would have it listed on the report. Also, people raised the issues of tenants being able to contact the AHBs and if they have issues in their accommodation. And all AHBs would have like a community engagement person, and when people are assigned units in an AHB, there would be an extensive kind of consultation and engagement person. But what I can do is maybe see if we can get a named individual from each AHB, and that can act as a point of contact, and we can circulate that, because they certainly wouldn't want to think that people couldn't contact them. They're very open to that. But Councillor Gilliland is right. We do have a memorandum of understanding with the AHBs, and they do come to area committees, as you know, and they'll also maybe come to other meetings and present on their plans and also on their engagement. So, and they also engage with the community when they're, you know, delivering or designing something, and we're very keen to support that. On the Cromcastle underpass, I think that is on cost rental, so, but again, we can kind of show that on Wednesday. I think Councillor Connolly, then, in terms of Site 14, I know this one has been taken a while and it's frustrating. We have a timetable that we're hoping to get to a Part 8 for the July meeting. That's what we're working on. We are consulting with our colleagues across the council in relation to drainage, and in relation to, we've kind of bottomed out the density, but drainage is an issue with the new development plan. So we're kind of just trying to ensure that we can keep the scheme affordable, because, you know, just consequences for that. So that's what we're working on. But we do want to get it to full council for July. That's our ambition. And then, as I said before, Site 12 will kind of follow that. And Site 1, I think City Valuers went out with the EOI on that. I don't have an update on it, but I can get one for you. Thanks.
Grandmargot. Councillor Terence Flanagan.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor, and just to thank Frank and Michelle for the report. Just under schemes at tender stage, Millwood Court, Dublin 5, 52 units, senior citizens accommodation. And I know it's an issue that my ward colleagues there, Councillor Barron and Councillor McDonagh, have raised in the past with yourselves. I'm just wondering, what is the delay? Like, that was a contentious planning that was got there. And, you know, the units there, they remain empty. Like, the tenants there were detenanted a number of years ago now, I think, at this stage. And just people are wondering, like, what's going on there? So I just want to know, from a DCC's perspective, are you keeping in touch? It's not under our direct control. It is an AHB directly involved there. So I'm just wondering how often you meet with them. Like, what is the bottleneck there? I think your finish date at 3:25 is overly ambitious. I suppose that date has been there for a year or so now in the report. But look, nothing is happening. People are asking questions. There was a contentious one on the ground, you know. So just if we can get an update on that to all the ward councillors, that would be appreciated, Manager.
Grandmargot. Councillor Darrell Barron.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And thanks, Managers Frank and Michelle, for your report. Just to follow on from Councillor Flanagan's point, you know, just from as more so a comment, you know, in relation to Millwood Court, it's a frustration. Like, you know, we transferred the land there between September and January this year. The frustration is we're not on site there, we're not breaking ground. So again, can we get an update there? There's a local frustration there, and I agree with Councillor Flanagan in the sense we need to be proactive on it. Just the detenancy of St Anne's Court as well, to see where we are with that one. And then just in general, voids in the north central area, where we are since post-Christmas, just to see where we are I'm seeing a bit of a sluggish start to the year for voids in the north central area. Just comments, just strong pipeline, Clongriffin, Balmain, strong pipeline. But I think, you know, when we look at the social infrastructure up there, we look at the, in general, the facilities up there, what, from the AHB's point of view, what are we doing to engage there on that social infrastructure front? We need to be actually banging on the drum there. And I know I raised this with the CEO a few weeks ago again. So, again, just a comment from yourself, Frank. And, again, just to thank your team and the tent in situ. There's been a lot of good stuff happening there in my area, and I know your team have been very good on it. It's good to see you made the point that 322 are in the pipeline. I have a few of them in the pipeline myself. But just to comment as well, just to see where we are, how many actually have been complete year to date, or, you know, since the tent in situ.
Councillor Tom Brabazon.
Thank you.
Councillor Flanagan's benefit, he mightn't have been present at some of the meetings, but I certainly raised the issue of my record time out of number. And I did, you know, this was first noted certainly in the public domain in 2019. We're now in 2024, and the latest figures say that work is going to commence on the ground in quarter three 25. You know, there has been, you know, some explicable delays such as COVID, etc. But the ongoing delays are completely and utterly unacceptable. And I would also like to echo as well in relation to the Clongriffin Balmain area in respect of community facilities. I've been trying to make contact with the LDA. They just ignore correspondence. And they're also saying publicly in public pronouncements that they're going to provide, community facilities. But unfortunately, this doesn't seem to be the case. I've spoken to your Tony Flynn in respect of community facilities for the area, and he has informed me that the LDA are asking Dublin City Council to do this. Now, to my mind, saying one thing publicly and asking the council to do another privately is completely and utterly unacceptable. And these communities who need these facilities, not just for the incoming construction and units to be provided, but the communities that need these facilities, you know, now and in the future,
have been ignored.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just a brief question for your manager. It came to my attention recently that the spine site in Darndale and the Belcamp B site, that site was to go ahead a long time ago, and hopefully will go ahead soon. But now it's come to my attention that both have been tied in together, which I think is going to hold back the Belcamp B site. So if you could have a look at that for me, please, that, you know, that would set one of the sites back, I think, while you're waiting for the other one to be brought through the process. Just on the Millwood, I agree. We've been waiting too long for that, but I want to remind some of the people who are most energised about it now that they delayed it for a couple of years by getting local residents up and running and mad against it. So thankfully they've come around now to see that it was the right thing to do. Thank you.
Gormagat, Larry, manager.
Councillor Flanagan, Councillor Barron, Councillor O'Toole. Look, I'll come back with a detailed update in relation to Millward Court.
And Councillor Brabazon as well, Lord Mayor.
And Councillor Brabazon as well, mea culpa. And Councillor Brabazon as well. In relation to voids in the North Central, Councillor Barron, I didn't know that there was any delay. I'd be very surprised if there is. But, I'll talk to Owen. He's a good operator. I'll talk to Owen in relation to that. My view, actually, having reviewed the voids with Robert last week, is that it's locked and loaded. We had a meeting today, the three of us, Michelle, myself and Robert, and our concern is that we've got 437 that we're operating on voids at present. I couldn't agree with you more in relation to facilities. For Glenliffman and Balmain, they're badly needed there. You said that as well, Councillor Brabazon, and I have in the report that the enhanced works have commenced in, or the enabling works have commenced in Millwall Court, but we'll ask Aisling to send out an update to all councillors tomorrow morning in relation to it. Look, I suppose all of the works that we're doing with the Land Development Agency is in partnership, and I'm happy to engage with them in relation to facilities. And for Councillor O'Toole, thank you for your note. I feel like my father getting notes in his top pocket. And I'll look after that for you. And definitely, yeah, we'll look at the spine site camp and come back to you on that. Or Vera. Yeah, Michelle's going to come in.
Sorry, I know I didn't... I think Millwood Court was... Broombridge was mentioned, wasn't it, in terms of where that's at. And there is going to be a design, as you know, that there was a redesign for that because of the city development plan and because of its proximity to the river. So they've had to do a redesign, and that's going to area committee, I think, in March. So there'll be something on that. Thanks.
Come on, Natalie.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Is that agreed? We're going to take item number 15 ahead of item number 14. So report number 38 of the Chairperson of the Audit Committee, annual report for the Audit Committee to the City Council for the year ended 31st of 12th, 2023, for noting. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Doolan.
Lord Mayor, can I just ask a question?
Please,
very
can
quickly
we just let
that?
Natalie conclude her business and then I'll open it up for people.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I have a seconder? Councillor McAdam. Now, is that agreed?
Donna, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just on the vacant site levy, Emmy, I don't see any reduction in that. Is that new ones or is the same ones continuing on with interest? It's 20 point...
Donna, are you on the right thing? We're on the audit committee.
Yeah, it's the vacant site levy. The audit committee noted vacant site levies arrears of 20.34 million. Seems an awful lot. And, you know, so the audit committee have noted that. And I just wonder, is it going down or is it just increasing? And what our plan is, like, we talk about rent arrears at tenants and things like that. And that's seen. It's a page. It's here on page 800.
Yeah.
984. So I'm just wondering if there's a, how are we dealing with that? Because there's a huge amount of talk all the time about, you know, and it's small amounts normally, the tenants owe, and yet this is a huge amount that could go some way to providing those sort of community services or the land that we need as Dublin City Council to build upon if we are to, you know, to build. We're looking to actually look at land. So I just don't think it's sustainable to leave it. I'm just wondering where we are in terms of, you know, our actions to do with that, because it is at 7% and increasing with, you know, with interest.
Grimaldi,
so therefore,
Donna,
if it's not sustainable for people to pay, maybe it should look
You're speaking to item 14. We were actually on item 15 because we just thought in terms of flow, let's deal with last year and then talk about next year. So we'll hold your response then for when we deal with item 14. Do you want to move on, Natalie?
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor. So item number 14, report number 37 of the Chairperson of the Audit Committee Charter and Annual Work Programme 2024 for adoption. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Declan Flanagan and Councillor Maura Devine as a seconder. Lord Mayor.
Okay, Gormagat. Cathy.
Gormagat, Vera, in relation to the question by Councillor Cooney around the report on the audit committee and what they reviewed, and also on the presentation by the local government auditor to the audit committee. Councillor Cooney has raised the issue of vacant sites levy and where is it. Councillor Cooney, I'll get your report and I'll speak with the planning department about that. We'll get a comment back to you, okay?
Councillor James Gagan.
Thanks very much and thanks for the report. I think every single year since I've been on the council, the audit committee raises issue about procurement in Dublin City Council or references challenges that we have in respect of procurement across a number of areas. And I'm just wondering, you know, maybe it's a matter for, maybe it's just a matter for the audit committee, maybe it's not a matter for the wider council, but I just wondered, like, where do you feel we are now versus the last 5 years? What progress do you think we've made as a city council when it comes to procurement, and how much more do we need to do to, I suppose, satisfy the concerns that are raised almost every year when it comes to procurement in respect of our council?
From August, Councillor Janet Horner.
Thanks very much. Yeah, and similarly, I just wanted to come in the procurement piece, because just to note that it's saying that there is multiple issues with not being in compliance with the procurement directives. Can we get any details about where the non-compliance with procurement directives is, or in what parts of the council's activities? And I'm just, it also just brings to mind the work on the community wealth building element of it, because I know that we've been discussing within that how we can be very compliant with procurement elements within the community wealth building aspect of it. So I'm just wondering if there's any opportunity to bring those two pieces together, as well as to look at how we are doing procurement, bringing it in line with the directives, and also trying to enhance that aspect of the community wealth building through our procurement initiatives. And just to note as well that it's saying that there is a lack of appropriate staff to work specifically on improving procurement practices. Is that going to be addressed? And do we have any plans to address that? Thanks.
Councillor Dermot Lacey.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I look at it somewhat differently. I mean, the Audit Committee have a right to argue in the way in which they have about non-compliance with procurement policy. But at meeting after meeting after meeting, I hear councillors and indeed officials quietly, if not publicly, express concern about the procurement rules and procurement policy. So I think while we should always strive to comply with best practice, we should also try and make best practice best practice. And if the procurement rules are daft and stupid, and I very often think they are, both in public life and in other areas of Irish life, maybe we need to look at what those procurement policies are and whether or not we need to be promoting changes to those procurement policies, because there is an inherent daftness in the way in which the National Public Service imposes rules on local government and other arms of society. I mean, I know of groups, particularly community and youth groups, who get suppliers to dream up procurement because that's the only way they can get it into the system, because business spends a fortune on putting in applications for projects that they have no intention whatsoever of ever seeking to work. So while we should, of course, comply with the law, if the law is an ass, we should try and change the law. And on procurement policy, I believe the law is an ass, and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform need to look at their own rules before telling us how to implement them.
Manager.
Councillor Gagan raised the issue about procurement, as is Councillor Horner and Councillor Lacey. So some of the things that were introduced in terms of improving procurement, I suppose at a broad level, yes, we are improving. Procurement is complex, but we are improving, but we've a long way to go. We've got some changes coming in on the 4th of March, which will make it very difficult to follow through from not having procured to paying a contractor. In fact, it will be really difficult and contractors won't be paid. So that's a very much a short, sharp shock kind of approach, and that will come in on the 4th of March. And we'll have a year bedding in of that, of getting arrangements where departments, if they don't have contracts, will have a be in a kind of grey place where we'll support them through so work continues, but at the end of that year they'll have to do that. And taking the points of Councillor Lacey and others, that is that while we may not agree with all procurement, it is there to try and open trade, and that's what it's there for, really, to give people the opportunity to have work with us, have good contract with us, be paid well. So we want to open that to as many people as possible, and we want to be strong. We have new training on the e-platform, the e-learning platform, in procurement and other issues, and that's helpful to people, and it doesn't mean that they have to go to workshops. They can just go online and have a look at that. And the other piece, as is mentioned here in the report, is that we're hopeful for getting recruiting people at grade 7 to each hub and each department to bring a specialism. It's a complex area, but at the same time it's not that complex. It can be learned, and we can go about it in a different way. Councillor Horner, you mentioned the working community well building, and that's a key piece of the phase 2 that we're at, and it links into what Councillor Lacey was saying as well, in making procurement more relevant and involving more social enterprises. And that's a piece we're working on now, looking to get to see why don't smaller companies tender, how we can change how we tender that would encourage them to do it and reduce the cost. Maybe linking up with some larger companies who might be interested in subcontracting more with social enterprises and seeing them as partners. So there's a whole heap of work going there. I think that's it, Lord Mayor.
Gormagod. Natalie. Oh, Councillor Flanagan.
And just to thank Cathy there. No, just a question on the Dublin Fire Brigade, the money outstanding, the 17 million for 22. Now, I note in the report it says there's no service level agreement or memorandum of understanding. And I know it is a priority of our new CEO here to get something into place. Is that proactively going to happen now in the coming weeks and months ahead? That's my question.
I think
sorry, just a final question. There is an ongoing communication with the HSC in relation to these monies, what's outstanding, etc. Please, just to get clarification on that.
Communications are still continuing with the Minister of the HSC, the Minister of Health, and we're hoping to get an agreement in 2024.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Is that agreed? Item number 16, report number 50 of the Head of Finance, Crowdfund Dublin City Pledges Grants for Approval. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Vincent Jackson and a seconder. Councillor Terence Flanagan. Lord Mayor.
Councillor Seamus McGrattan.
Yeah, good morning, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, I just want to welcome this report and just to thank Cathy and the team for bringing this. This was an idea that came to the Finance SPC a couple of years ago, and it's great to see we're now giving out grants at the end of it. Lord Mayor, you hosted a launch of this campaign, I think, towards last year. And it's great to see, as I say, we're now giving out grants. But I would just encourage all members to spread awareness of this. It's a great way for communities to promote events in their own area and to get funding both from the City Council and from the wider community. So just if we can spread the awareness. The numbers are probably a bit low still for what money we put aside, but there will be second and third tranches of this. So we just hope that there's a lot more communities coming forward tomorrow.
Agreed. Councillor Fiona Connolly.
Gormagod Ord Mhaire. Just want to also support that the crowdfund pitches are brilliant. I think that the projects that have been chosen are really culturally and environmentally significant, in particular the casual T wards. I think it's the clothing recycling is a really important initiative, so well done to all involved.
Gormagod. Councillor Declan Mina.
Gormagod Ord Mhaire. I just want to note Connecting Cabra's Community Roots project here. A friend of mine is taking part where she has a house in Cabra and a few people who live in an apartment come and grow, and you know it's a good connection to have, and I think it's this innovation that we should support. So I want to say well done to Connecting Cabra, and I really look forward to seeing what other great projects come through this.
Gormagod, Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
Gormagod Ord Mhaire, yeah, it's a very good project. Thanks to the chair of the Finance SPC and to Cathy and her team. I just want to welcome the renovation of community garden in Donnycarney and Dublin 5 in my own area, and just to ask the manager, when is the second and third tranche of this going to be open to applications, Gormagod Ord Mhaire?
Gormagod, Councillor Cat O'Driscoll.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'll follow everyone else's great praise of the team. The amount of work that had to go on behind this was significant, and I really appreciated the briefings we got. Just a few questions. When we go on to the Space Hive website at the moment, only 5 of the projects are there. Is that because the other 2 met their goal, or if you could explain how that worked? And also, would it be possible at some stage in the future to get a report on how the process has been working? What were the total number of submissions? Was there a reason for drop-off? Is there additional supports that we could put in to get more communities applying for this? I did get some feedback from some groups that were hoping to engage that there was just quite a few steps that they didn't have the time to get through. Hopefully they'll be ready for the next phase. And I think some sort of reflective report in a few months will be really useful. Thank you.
Gormagod, Councillor James Gagan.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Yeah, like what others have said, I was on the Finance SPC when this was getting up and running, so full credit to Cathy and her team and to Seamus for seeing it through to its fruition. I think it's, you know, it is a real innovation for the City Council, albeit it's small amounts of money right now. It has the potential to be much more significant, and equally, I suppose, the success of this first round hopefully will feed into future tranches, and the awareness of this particular measure will grow across all of the Dublin City Council areas. So really, like Councillor O'Driscoll and maybe it's not for now. I suppose it would just be good to hear some insight in terms of how you feel the process has gone, you know, the number of applicants, and I suppose where you see the process going next, and as another councillor stated, just to know when the next tranches are coming. Thanks.
Good, Councillor Doolan.
Good, I just want to congratulate my colleague Shane Scratton and the committee. I think when we adopt the budget in October, November, we talk about hundreds of millions and over a billion. And sometimes that figure is way beyond people's grasp in important enormity. But this seed core funding for local projects is what makes a difference to people's lives, and it's real community development. It's a tool of engagement and community development and brings pride into communities. Now, I was contacted by the Crumlin project, called Crumlin the Way It Was, and it's about documenting and recording the history of that area, and I was happy to support it. And I felt investing in it, I know it would happen, because Dublin City Council is backing it. They're not simply coming at ground zero, they're coming with half the funding already in place from Dublin City Council, and that gives confidence to people like me and other members of the public to come forward and invest and support as well. So I just want to congratulate the committee on its imaginative approach to investing in our communities and providing support and community development at its very best. Thank you.
Come on, go to Councillor Cooney.
Yeah, I was at that finance SPC when this came up, and it's just great to see it at this stage now, and I really think it has potential. As you say, it's the first one that we've done, and it's small amounts. You know, if people get, you know, 5,000, like Councillor Heaney did to welcome the renovation of the community garden in Dunnecarney, but we can see, you know, what these community gardens do and the benefits that can have is far-reaching, you know, in the community, in terms of the health and the well-being and everything that can happen in community gardens. So we get like tenfold what's put in there because, you know, so I suppose maybe some sort of measurements of what the benefits are, you know, in relation to these amounts of money as well, so that we can look to put even more of it in. And I know the word will go out with other groups, and there will be far more applications next year. And I do hope that we do put in more in terms of this, because it does give people, you know, a boost to know that they're getting that 50%, you know, from Dublin City Council. And if they can raise the other amount, it's a challenge then, you know, to get the other half. Half of the other 50%, so that they can get the projects off the ground. And just to say, well done! It's a great initiative. It's really good to see these type of things, and very much supportive of them.
Gormagat, Councillor Eamon McCormick.
Thank you, Ardvair. Congratulations to the SPC, the Financial SPC Committee. This is a brilliant innovative. In funding within our community, and working with Connecting Cabra, we can really see it on the ground. And like that, we started small, it will increase, and we'll have further more next year, hopefully. Thank you.
From all good. Councillor Paddy McCartan. Are you there, Paddy? You've disappeared. We saw you were in the jungle
Sorry, I don't know. Can you hear me, Lord Mayor? Yeah, no, as a member of the SPC, I just want to agree with all the comments that have been made. This is a very innovative project, and the work that Cathy and her team, and particularly the chair of the SPC, Seamus, have done great work on it. And there's huge potential, Lord Mayor, for the future, for this projects like these, because they filter down and benefit our communities. Thank you very much.
Gormagat, and yeah, just for myself, Cathy, to congratulate you and the team for everything. I think this shows that it works, and hopefully we can expand from here. I think there's a couple of questions from Kat and James.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just in general, questions from everyone. So this is the finalised ones of the first tranche. We may come to you in March with another few who are still working through, you know, community gardens that really, they don't own the garden, but they're trying to get access to it, all that kind of crack. So there could be another report in March that would finish the first window. It hasn't run as smooth as it might have. It's some of, when you're looking through the system, it could be better. And we're working with the platform provider to say, as much as that, and the communications to the groups could be better. It's a new way of looking at a grant, so it's a different step for people, so there's a bit of time there. So we want to improve it. So when we get those things ironed out, we'll then move on to a second window and go from there and hopefully feedback again. So there could be another report here in March, and then the second window would be another bit. But if I could just thank Jackie Riley in the Ballymun area office has been absolutely crucial to this. It's on Frank's staff, and I want to thank her for that.
Good morning, good. Staff, we've approved that already.
Is that agreed?
Agreed. Colleagues, I might just ask you, bear with me, just while Cathy's still here, we might go straight to the monthly fund statement. Normally we'd go into topical issues just right now, but if we can just do the monthly fund statement and the monthly management report now and then go into the topical issue, if that's okay.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Report number 47 of the Head of Finance, Cathy Quinn, monthly local fund statement for noting. Can I have a proposer? Councillor McGrattan and a seconder? Councillor Boylan, is that agreed?
That's what we're dealing with.
Lord Mayor.
Councillor Flanagan.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, just to ask Cathy, the development levies, a very welcome increase there in December of 5 million. Have you detail in relation to that? Is just more schemes possibly coming online? And the other question was... That'll cover it for now, yeah. Local property tax, yeah, for... 0.3 million. There was nothing there for December 22, but that was for December 23. Just to ask why there was nothing in 22. December 22 could be just a timing thing. Thanks.
Come on, good. Councillor Paddy McCartan.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, I've done it again. Three items, Lord Mayor. The first one is in relation to the development levies. I know 4.1 million for Pembroke Beach DAC, so that is related to the Pool Beg project, I presume. Cathy, is that the first tranche of development levies from this project? And I presume they will be ongoing in the future. The second one is the on payments. Could you just explain to me the 1.7 million to Copper Bridge Charter Land Limited? A refund of monies paid re-part 5 on a Dublin 4 hotel site. And also the 1.2 million that was paid to South Dublin Council for WTE for the third quarter of last year. Thank you.
Gormagut, Councillor Dermot Lacey.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I was prompted to ask a question by Councillor Flanagan's question. Given that we've now closed off 2023 and we know that roughly 68 million was collected in Dublin through the local property tax, do we have any idea of the net figure benefit to Dublin from the local property tax last year? And the second question, I was at a conference last week in which Minister O'Donnell launched the Thrive programme, which is one of these inner, you know, rejuvenating areas. But as part of the scheme, every local council gets to pick one project. Now, so Dublin City with a population of 500,000 gets one project, and I don't want to pick a county, but a county with a very small population will get one project. Leitrim's always been picked on, so I won't pick on Leitrim. But, you know, I think we need to look at that way of discriminating against Dublin, of effectively funding other counties way and beyond Dublin's funding. And I wonder if the manager at some time could come back and have a look and give us a report on the sort of projects like Thrive, whereby, you know, Dublin is effectively discriminated against given our population versus the one grant application per county. Because I think it's something we need to fight on in the future. Thank you.
Lord Mayor, Gormagut, Councillor Flanagan raised the issue about development levy. So the what's brought it to the Councillor's attention here is any payment over a million. And there was just that one payment over a million for 4.1. So I can give you an analysis, but there's loads there, you know, and that's why they're not there. I can provide that report to you, but just to flag that it won't be small. Councillor McCartan asked about the 4.1, and that's the first payment, and yeah, presumably that will come true in terms of the future as more is paid from it. Councillor Flanagan, I think you looked for earlier payments on the LPT, but I'll come back to you and clarify, was that what you were looking for? And I'll do that. Councillor McCartan, I'll bring you a report on the detail of the 1.7 million paid, the refunds there. In terms of the 2 million to South Dublin, that's a regular thing between the other local authorities around the waste to energy dividend coming out of the Covanta operation, and that's a standard thing that we do at year end. And in terms of Councillor Lacey's question about understanding how much money was collected for the LPT, I mean, like, it's done by the revenue, and then there's a report to the Department of Housing, which I haven't seen yet, so I don't know what would see outcome there.
Gormagat, Manager.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Is that agreed? Yes? Thank you. Item number 18, report number 42, the Chief Executive Monthly Management Report for noting. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Lacey. And a seconder, Councillor O'Driscoll. Is that agreed?
Okay, colleagues, we're now on to the topical issue that we agreed at the start of the meeting. It will be done by group process like we normally do. So each group will get 2 minutes to speak, and every speaker thereafter gets 1 minute to speak as per standing orders. The topic is the DCC traffic plan, the consultation process. Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
I understand that there is concern out there in the public, because the figures around the public consultation process is low. The figure of people who engaged in the public consultation process is low. I understand that. I do also understand that there is an issue with road space in the city. But in terms of the people who I'm dealing with, Lord Mayor, I'm representing the Clontarf ward. That's a ward where we have the Clontarf to city centre cycleway, which is an absolute living nightmare for people in Clontarf, Raheny, Kilester, Donnycarney, passing through that route. And it's delayed. There's a delay on the completion of it, so people are seeing that. I also have a situation with bus connects in Donnycarney and Kilester, where on the Malhide Road in Donnycarney, we're losing two bus stops. And we're getting it replaced by one. So that means that there's going to be a longer distance for certain individuals to walk to get a bus when we're trying to when we're trying to encourage people to leave the car behind and get the bus. So that's just from my local ward, Lord Mayor. So we need, I suppose, to have more joined up thinking in relation to trying to explain to people why we're doing what we're doing. I know Dublin City Council, Lord Mayor, doesn't control the provision of buses, and I know we don't control bus connects, but our officials need to engage with the officials in the NTA. I've written to the NTA about the bus stop issue that I mentioned earlier, and we also need to be cognizant of when we're introducing something like what we introduced, and when we say, you know, the public consultation process, the amount of contributors were overwhelmingly in favour of it. We need to be cognisant of the other issues that are happening in the city and
bring people with us,
Lord Mayor. And in this instance, I don't think that's what happened.
Gormagat Ardwera, Big Misha Kind, son on Group and Mass Block. I'll be speaking more to my own views on this, as distinct from the independent group, Lord Mayor. But I think Councillor Heaney actually heard the first thing she said is, why was it so low? The consultation process, in my view, was quite flawed. And it was flawed for various reasons. One, it was non-inclusive and it was discriminatory. It was online survey, email. It was published on the DCC Citizen Space platform, whatever that is. That was the only way you got to know how to make a submission. There was absolutely no public consultation. And like with the Climate Action Plan, which had consultation in 17 different areas and different facilities, Dublin City Council decided, for some strange reason, we are not going to public consultation on this. We have libraries, we have community centres which should and could be used for this. The second thing I just want to point out is the survey. This, and anyone who's read the six survey questions will realise that a first-year market research student would immediately see that there's an absolute bias being introduced in these questions. All of them were prompted, all of them were closed, because you can have open or probing, but all of them closed, every one of them a loaded question, and every one of them a leading question. So there was absolute bias. It would had to be bias in this. This was clandestine, it was covert, it was suspicious. But most of all, the whole process was flawed. And it was deliberately designed, in my view, to make sure that the people most affected by this, the 6 out of 10 drivers who, for whatever reason and good reason, have to go through the city, were being deliberately excluded on this. I think we just really need to go back to the drawing board in this hardware. Gurv Maggart.
Gurv Maggart, a speaker from the Green Party, please.
Thanks very much. Yeah, look, obviously, it's really difficult to get a consultation process that is perfect. I know, interestingly, that the same week that we had this, Paris had a plebiscite in their city around parking charges for SUVs. The turnout rate for that was 5.7%. There is no perfect way to get a full broad cross section of public opinion on these things. It is up to us as councillors to make it more accessible, to make it more engaging for the public. I know in the Greens we held public meetings, we met with constituents, we published things online, we spoke to the media, we met with constituents on the doors, we spoke to them as much as possible. The only public reps who made submissions into this process were Green Party reps. So it's a little bit frustrating, and this isn't the first time that we've had this, when people raise issues with the consultation process long after the consultation process itself was actually open and there for us as public reps to show leadership on, to try to make it as accessible as possible for people, to try to bring as many people with us, to do that exact piece of trying to address concerns, explain it to people and bring in as many people as possible. I think it has been great to see there has been so much positive engagement. There is among Dublin Bus saying that it's going to cut journey times for the majority of people who use the city by public transport. That's fantastic news. The businesses have shown that they're very broadly supportive of this. They have some specific concerns that will be addressed, and I think it's really important that we do that. But I think there's been some really poor communication on this in the media. I've heard the word nightmare been thrown around a few times for traffic. And again, you know, and a friend of mine is going through this at the moment, a nightmare is being knocked down by HGV on the keys. That's what happened to a friend of mine last year. She is still learning to walk again because of that. She is lucky she has her life. Taking HGVs off the keys will hopefully, among other vehicles, is the kind of thing that will prevent
Romina
that nightmare
Margaret, a speaker from
many from other
the
people.
Fine Gael group, please.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Obviously, in the first instance, I think anyone in this chamber has enormous sympathy for anyone who's been struck down by a HGV, and we all wish your friend a recovery and a safe recovery. I hope, though, we can bring this debate to a level where we actually consider the proposals that are before us, or at least that were before the Traffic and Transport SPC, and there's much to be satisfied with. But equally, that shouldn't mean that everyone else has to be silenced or lectured to about their level of engagement versus, you know, one party's engagement versus another party's engagement. It's perfectly reasonable to criticise how a significant project like this, how the public consultation process took place in respect of this, and equally, by the same token, be satisfied that what is in fact is being proposed is something that's good for Dublin City. And that's where I would stand. I'd be of the view that the changes to the South Keys in particular, if you're taking a bus or if you're riding a bike or even if you're just walking, is actually going to be transformative for anybody who takes those journeys on a bike or on a bus and is permanently in gridlock. I think it's going to be a massive change. Obviously, how this plan feeds into the pedestrianisation of College Green, I think is going to be a massive and transformative change to our city. But where I would critique is not how the media have interpreted people's views, because the general public are going to have strong views and they're entitled to have those views. Where, you know, change is challenging and people are going to have them, and if we don't engage with people and speak with people and rather than talk down to them, all you're going to have are these artificial cartoonish clashes with, you know, it's being presented, you know, motorists versus cyclists. I think there's neighborhoods close by that are concerned and they should be engaged with, and we need to do all we can to bring everyone together.
Speaker from the Labour Party, please.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. Happy to speak on this on behalf of the Labour group. And I suppose, look, first of all, just to state, we very much welcome the principle of the proposals and want to see them come to fruition. It was us as city councillors through our city development plan process that set the ambitious targets. Sorry, thanks, Lord Mayor. It was us as city councillors through our city development plan process who set the ambition of 40% reduction in traffic. And if we want to set that ambition, that was adopted by this council, that was voted on by this council. And if we want to set those ambitious targets, we have to implement strong, decisive action that attempts to get traffic congestion off our streets that is only cutting through our city centre rather than going to it as a destination. We're talking about a specific core area of our city centre here that has been in gridlock. The keys haven't worked for decades. So I think the principle of trying to make our city a more attractive place to spend time in is something I think we can all get on board with. It is not going to detract from the people who want to go to the city, spend time in the city. Cars are welcome in the city. We're not trying to turn them off. If you want to spend time in the city, you're welcome. There are many car parks. You can dump the car and spend time in the city. I think what we do need, and I agree with Councillor Gagan on this, is when we're talking about the communities that are potentially going to see increase in traffic in their communities, we need to talk to them and we need to engage with them. And I think also a wider public communication campaign is needed. If we're telling people you can't now go a certain way, we need to tell them where you can go. And I think that's something that's going to be really crucial for people that want to get through the city. If we're trying to send them around it, where are we sending them? So I think all of that detail will have to be worked out. The same with businesses and workers who are coming into the city to carry out their jobs and need to travel around, how are we communicating to them? All of those details need to be worked out, but I think the principle of making our city more livable, we can all get behind. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
A speaker from the Sinn Féin group, please.
Good morning, Tord Vera. I welcome this debate. I think it's a healthy debate, and I think we do need to be focused on reducing traffic, congestion, pollution, and the dangers of traffic in our city and our quays. And I think people feel strongly because they're passionate about the city. I'm passionate about the city. I'm not a car owner. I don't drive. I cycle. My children use the public transport every day into the city centre. And I want everybody to be made feel welcome and safe in our city. And that needs to be a multifaceted approach. We need a strong, visible police service, but we also need a safe city where people can traverse the city with accessible, reliable, safe public transport. And that's key to ensuring that we are able to reduce the traffic congestion. As well as that, I think the debate needs to be, while a healthy debate is welcome, it needs to be done in a proper, orderly, non-inflammatory way. And I think some of the language I've witnessed in this debate has not been helpful. I think we need to put away, park that language, and engage with each other as people, as citizens and activists in the city. And that's what we've been charged to do as elected reps. And I think I welcome the debate and the business impact on this debate has been very positive. I want to single out Richard Guiney in particular, who's been very constructive in engaging with this process. I'm on several committees with him. He's always impressed me in his imaginative approach to this. And one of my final points would be this. We need to ensure that when we are bringing about changes to traffic in the city, that we're clear about where that traffic is going to go. There's no point in moving the congestion from the Quays or from O'Connell Street or surrounding streets to other communities and then imposing traffic congestion on them. That's not the solution. We need a very holistic approach to ensuring that communities in and around the city centre can live healthily, their children can play healthily and safely in the city, and people can access the city for what it's meant to be, which is a place for recreation, to work, to study and to enjoy their lives. So I'd welcome this debate. I hope we do bring it to a successful conclusion and that in years ahead we can look back and say that was successful, we achieved it, and we live in a better, healthier, safer, more welcoming city than when we took charge.
Margaret, speaker from the Social Democrats, please.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. We welcome this plan. It's been a long time coming and it will be good for the city. Anything that helps public transport move more smoothly through the core city centre is to be welcomed. And removing cars from a couple, unlike what has been reported in the media, a couple of pinch points in the city centre will achieve this. It's particularly important for suburbs like my own on the north side in Santry, Whitehall, Ballymunfingus, probably most of the north side when you think of it, which don't have access to other forms of public transport. It's really important that our public transport service in the form of buses can move smoothly and effectively through the city centre. And this is what this plan aims to achieve. I think it's unfortunate that the media discussion around this has been couched in such hysterical terms as people will not be able to access maternity hospitals. or people won't be able to drive through the city centre, or people won't be able to access shops for shopping. I think we need to deal with these issues and we need to have better comms around this. I really think that it will have a positive effect on traffic and on the air quality for people who live in the city centre. But there have been some issues with the consultation process, and therefore we call on management to engage with Pierce Street Residents Association, who believe that there were procedural issues in the consultation process relating to the publication of certain documents, with a view to addressing their concerns. And I think that DCC traffic management should deal with the areas, with residents in the areas where the proposed changes are met. And finally, on maybe a slightly tongue-in-cheek point, I see Diageo are a big have a lot of issues with not letting their five-axle vehicles go up the quay. So maybe you should bring back the barges on the Liffey.
A speaker from People for Profit, please.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And it's very interesting hearing the different opinions around the chamber on what is planned for Dublin City. Like other members, I welcome an improvement to how the city is ran from a traffic aspect. I think the media haven't been very helpful in how they've covered it over the last few days, because it's kind of given a bit of a fear to people that overnight we're going to stop any traffic or any cars that could come through and alter the way people move within our city. And I think I've always said that consultation always gets rid of that vacuum where misinformation lingers. And I'm not to discredit any of the hard work that Dublin City Council has done in the consultation process. I know it is a very hard space to be in. There's so much going on in one time. But I think we need to just make sure we're bringing everybody along with us. I'd also like to see if the opinion of the taxi drivers or how their representatives were engaged with, to see how it's going to be affected from them. I mean, we've had an awful lot of coverage over the last couple of months, maybe 2 years now, about how difficult it is to get out of the city. And I just don't think we want to hinder on that when we're trying to be getting people in to socialise within and to keep the businesses open. So I'm fully supportive of making our town more accessible about how we get around it. But I'm also more kind of worried about that we're bringing everybody along us. If the fact that we had a reliable, free access public transport system, then I think there wouldn't be such a big uproar as to how we're going to be able to access the city. But we don't have that. And I don't think we're in air enough to even having that reliable public transport system. So again, welcome debate tonight, and hoping that we can kind of move this to a more cohesive way and making sure that we do use the city as best as we can. Thanks.
Good, Hazel. Colleagues, we now move to individual speakers looking to meet and understand in orders. People have 1 minute. We've already started lists. So, Councillor Tom Brabazon.
We all want motherhood and apple pie in terms of, you know, safe cycling, pedestrians, you know, freely moving public transport. But I suppose where we come from with this is that, you know, we need to be sure that there's proper consultation with the public. And that's not this, oh, well, let's stick something up on the internet and maybe hopefully people might find it or see it. You know, this is a fairly major decision in terms of an arterial route along the city, quays. And it's important that as many people are consulted as possible. We should engage in a more active rather than passive consultation in respect of it. And I think, you know, it's one thing that's been said, you know, tonight, about you know, Diageo and so forth. I mean, one of the things that struck me was that if Diageo are going to have to increase their mileage, you know, around the place, there's going to be a huge increase in carbon emissions.
Yeah, thanks, Lord Mayor, and I want to thank the officials for the work they have done. And it has been said, I think, that the consultation process was underhanded. It was covert, and there's a huge percentage of people who did not and cannot use the online process. If we want consultation, we must go through our libraries, we must go through emails and area offices. I don't know what doors some people are knocking at. I know the doors I'm knocking at, I'm being told that it's going to be a great inconvenience, that we're smothered in the city. You'll drive cars down into built-up areas like Sheriff Street, East Wall, to go across the East Link and to get to the south side. Whether we like it or not, there will be an inconvenience. And is there proper public transport He can't cope as it is. He can't get staff as it is. So therefore, that's going to be a serious issue. But at the end of the day, I think that parts of our city will be an inconvenience to people, and we need to go back to the drawing board. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Dr. Margot. Councillor Damien O'Farrell.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. No, listen, I'm more interested in fairness, and I'm interested in transparency and to have respect for the citizens of Dublin. A few years ago, this very council, we talked about a 30 kph default speed limit and loving 30 and all that. And we had a survey. That survey was thrown in the bin. I don't know if the councillors realised that. It was thrown in the bin because the same people who set the questions were the same people that were looking after the Loving 30 campaign. So this campaign, are you in favour of high-quality pedestrian facilities in the city centre? Are you in favour of high-quality cycle facilities? Do you support the principle of giving communities more transport choices? Of course I'm in favour of all those things. Of course I am. It was, as Councillor Ring said, it was very much loaded. And I want to ask the manager, the CEO, is he happy with this? Because our last CEO wasn't happy with that 30 kph. And it was thrown in the bin. And I want to see, does Richard, would he stand over this survey? Thank you.
Dear Margaret. Councillor Donna Cooney.
Yeah. Well, I welcome this plan. I think there's been some misinformation there. And, you know, us as councillors were there too. We were all very well informed on that, at least we should have been. And we got enough emails about it. We intended to attend the SPC meetings. And I know that there was even written responses to this as well. So it wasn't all online. And, you know, even in the journal there, people said they were either in support completely, fully, or to a reduction in traffic. So I think people know it's not working the way it is now. As I said, we all voted on the development plan, which this is in line with the development plan. We want a livable city. We want more people living in our city, more people visiting our city. You know, we have to show how this is going to work. But there's a lot of misinformation. People will still be able to drive into the city. We welcome people driving into the city. But we want to also provide a city that people want to stay in when they're there. You know, maybe...
Margot, Councillor Mannix Flynn. Councillor Mannix Flynn.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. It goes without saying that Dublin City Council are getting it in the neck on this particular issue when it should be the NTA. I believe that this issue is going to end up in a court in a judicial review. I do believe that the consultation process was deeply flawed, like the one was on Strand Road. This whole process was led by a number of Dublin City Council officials. One of those officials misled the court in relation to Strand Road. So the general public in the city have no confidence in this particular initiative. And as I say, Mr. Shakespeare set out his plan and his vision for the city at the outset of this particular meeting. And he never mentioned anything about this particular plan, which would completely undermine the city. We all want the city that's livable in, safe, and that we can walk around and we can drive around and we can be transported around. Unfortunately, we don't have that at the moment. We have basically a disaster of a place, which only not too long ago was subject to riots. And in those riots, the public transport was taken off the streets. So if you have a similar situation, how are people to get home?
Councillor Carolyn Moore.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And just on the theme of consultation, I want to make the point that arguably the most important public consultation on transport in our city is the one that never happened, because I can guarantee you that if 30 or 40 years ago we'd asked the people of Dublin if they wanted to give the vast majority of our shared public space over to the storage and movement of private cars, they would have laughed at the idea. It would have been unthinkable when I was a child that we'd remove the ability for children to play on their own streets or walk to school by themselves. It would have been inconceivable that we'd force people with disabilities and parents with babies out into traffic so cars could occupy our footpaths, and it would have been an affront to the communities living in our city, many of whom didn't own cars then and still don't now, that we would sacrifice their quality of life to cater to one mode of transport that didn't serve them. But we never asked the citizens of Dublin if they were willing to make that trade-off. We just took the space via decades of transport policy that prioritised the car and only the car. This transport plan is an opportunity to redress that imbalance. I believe most people recognise that, and that's why there was a huge response to the consultation, and over 80% of the people who responded were in favour.
Councillor Larry O'Toole.
Thank you. Following on for Councillor Heaney, I first of all want to commend the Save Our Bus Stops, Malahide Road Bus Stops campaign, of which I would be fully supportive of. Secondly, I want to talk about, in the current debate, about the role of the media two occasions, Lord Mayor. On one last week, on one public broadcast, only the text that I could and contributors that were against the plan were taken on board. Unfortunately, our executive didn't respond to the request to come on. I think we need to be doing that. We need to be using all those broadcasts and all to explain this. Also, on another occasion, one of our elected members of the Transport Committee was harangued on national radio for her stance on this. Just nothing short of being harangued, Lord Mayor. Thank you.
Janice Boylan.
We need traffic improvements in the city, but at any new plans comes questions, concerns, and we need to acknowledge that. There is concerns due to misinformation within the media that went out to the public about the public consultation process, and some people thought it wasn't too good, and it's okay to say that as well. All the work that was done still doesn't seem to have completely helped with relaying the general public's concerns if they were opposed to it or had some questions and concerns. You know, we're not saying that the work wasn't done, and fair play to the Green Party for the work that they did in this. What we're trying to say is that the way in which the consultation was done could have been better, and I think we can all agree on that. For example, just relaying people's fears, if people can't go one way, well then what way can they go? So, I mean, we do need the traffic improvements, we absolutely do, and we welcome anything that improves the city for pedestrians and cyclists alike, but we do have to look at the consultation process.
Councillor Deirdre Conroy.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I hear what so many councillors are having information about this, but in fact, this system in the middle of the this absolute capital city in Europe has no Metro Underground. And the Metro Underground, it was said this morning, is supposed to be going up in about 11 years. Therefore, in certain parts of the city, and some people are, you know, still in Dublin City, but, you know, it could be Donnybrook, it could be Terenure, it could be other areas that would go over to the airport and go under the port tunnel, go onto the Liffey Bridge, and that would cost them at least 6 or 10 euros going up and the same coming back. That's 20 euros. So they're not going through the city. And now this idea that no cars are allowed to go through the city is quite serious about what I've taken up in the transport SPC. No, I'm not finished. It's about the school bus system.
No, Gamaleshka, Councillor Dermot Lacey.
We must have a school bus system.
Can we mute it? Councillor Dermot Lacey.
This debate has all the hallmarks of make me pure, but not yet. Everybody knows we need to do something with traffic in the city, but nobody wants to take the decisions required. Communications is the key. And I really want to commend the Irish Times to, in contrast to RTE, actually engage in a reasonable, informed debate, whereas RTE gave us two protagonists. Neither of them involved in local government, of course, engaged on this issue. So we need more clear communications. But we need to look at our own structures. As a member of this City Council, I have never seen a plan, the Dublin City Traffic Plan. There needs to be a full presentation to the full council on this. Not for me to oppose it, for me to understand this. And I think that's something that maybe the traffic department would pick up, because we need to do this. Finally, we need to engage with those communities who are affected negatively in a very detailed way to resolve these matters. These problems can be resolved if we try, but we need to try.
Margaret, Councillor Michael Pidgeon.
Thanks very much. Like, a lot of talk about public transport when it comes to this plan, asking about when the metro is going to be built, which is a fair question. We need to push on with that. But even if you set aside that our quays are crap and unloved and not a nice place to be and congested, even if you set aside space for pedestrians or cyclists or people who need to drive into the city, at the core of this is just making the bus work. Because if you listen to the CEO of Dublin Bus moves 51%, the majority of commuters into Dublin every day. It's 400,000 journey passengers a day. And he said that of the 121 routes, the vast majority go through the city centre. And he said, I quote, "One of the biggest problems we have with moving passengers is the congestion in the city centre. So on a daily basis, it's very difficult for us to run a really reliable and punctual service with the level of congestion in the city." This is what we need to do. We need to prioritise a bus, because a bus moves a hell of a lot more people than one or two cars ever can while using very little road space. It's a city that's growing. The core city centre is built.
Claireburn.
Prioritise the bus.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm pretty sure everyone was in the room just 2 hours ago when we unanimously supported the Climate Action Plan, much like we approved the City Development Plan. So it's pretty clear that no one actually read the Climate Action Plan, because if you had, you would see that there are very key, clear objectives around transport and active travel, and it prioritises cycling, walking and big public pedestrianisation projects with cleaner streets and cleaner air, because that is what climate action is. Yet here we are criticising the process because we don't like the outcome, an outcome that was 82% of the respondents supporting this. And you're saying that people weren't told about it. I wonder, what is your role as an elected representative? I personally dropped about 7,000 leaflets on this. I held a public meeting. You have a responsibility to let people know about what is going on in their city. It is too late to criticise the process now. The time was then. Now we need to talk about how it will be monitored, how it will be reported on. That's very, very important. But this is not banning private cars.
Borough of Magus, Councillor Kevin Donoghue.
It's reorienting traffic and freeing up space. Thank you. Judicial review.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I think this plan is very exciting. It's nice to see a plan with a bit of teeth in it and that will actually make some substantive changes. And I do think when it eventually, or if it eventually comes to pass, it'll be very quickly, we'll wonder how we ever operated the way we currently do. The point I want to make is in relation to a consultation. Consultation, I think, has derailed the substance of a number of debates in this council over the last number of years. And maybe at this stage it's an issue for the incoming council. But I think a framework or some kind of guidance document around how consultations are to be carried out could be agreed between the councillors and on the next council, so that when an issue like this comes up for debate, we can't, like, some of the issues around consultation are real, some of them are not, and I think the issue of consultation is very frequently used as an excuse to bring up complaints that aren't actually related to consultation at all. And if we have an agreed framework in place that we can point to at the end of or the start of any presentation, we can avoid debates like this, which focus on the issues around consultation, be they real or imagined, over the actual substance of the issue.
Councillor Ray McAdam.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll be very quickly, very quick. Just to put it on the record, like Councillor Byrne, I distributed more than 5,500 newsletters across the North Inner City to gauge the views of my constituents. I think, as is the case in any debate, language is important. And I say that to our friends in the Fourth Estate, as I say to all public representatives, be that councillors, senators, TDs and ministers. The reality is that we do need to reduce our dependency on the private car, but equally we cannot simply wish away problems as well. And I think there are elements of the transport plan that we are simply wishing away. And I am concerned that, particularly in parts of the inner city that I represent in Stony Batter and parts of Dublin 7, that we are going to see increased levels of traffic and therefore issues with our air quality. And finally, on the issue of consultation, I've said this at the CPG in the past, Lord Mayor, there has to be some level of management of how we're going to consult by this council.
Councillor Vincent Jackson.
Consistency.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, very interesting discussion over the last while. And I live in part of the city that you live in, Lord Mayor, that were crucified with traffic on a daily basis. I never hear any opportunities for to reduce the true traffic. About 16,000 to 20,000 cars and trucks and vans cut through Ballyfermot every day. One of our colleagues earlier on said about a love affair with the car. The simple fact, when I was a kid, on Kylemore Road, Cherry Arsh and Dusset Street, there were thousands of people employed there. There's about 150 people. They're all redundant units that a couple of retail units in them. So we've moved all the jobs. I look at all my neighbours every morning. They all go out about half six in the morning and they all travel all out to Kildare and all that part of the world. There is no public transport to bring people out there. So unless you have a car, you just have to be consigned to unemployment or whatever the case may be. Obviously, we want to reduce the true traffic in the city. But in doing so, we have to try and do it in such a way that we don't destroy the retail heart of the city. And one of the big traders in Capel Street, just recently I was talking to someone who works there and they said business is down 70%. So I'm just saying there is going to be an awful lot of
Paddy McCartan.
Collateral damage. Thanks, Lord.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. I'm a member of the Transport Committee and we've debated this issue over the last number of months. And I was disappointed then when certain councillors were brought on board by RTE to make comments when they haven't been a member of the committee. I know they're entitled to do that. But the point being, we're not banning cars from the city centre, but you can't argue with statistics. If over 60% of car drivers' journeys are used to go through the city to another destination, that means our streets are being used as a rat run. In relation to some of the inner city areas there in Pierce Street, people are absolutely fed up with the traffic, the environmental considerations, and the damage that's being done to their health. I'm regarded, Lord Mayor, as being a green Fine Gael. I'm greener than most of them.
And Margaret Paddy, Councillor Anne Feeney.
I feel strongly that I am supportive of this plan. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. I am pro this proposal and I want to see it as a success. However, it will only be a success if we have open and honest communications. And that means showing people models of where alternative traffic is going to go, what the impact is going to be for the economy of the city, and how the Gardaí are going to police the greater public realm areas so that we don't have another boardwalk scenario. So I think communications are absolutely key. We see the benefits. We need to help people see through any fears and see what the long-term gain is for the city. Thank you.
Gur Margot, before we close the debate, Mannix, are you there? During the course of the debate, you said that Dublin City Council officials misled the court. I'd just like to give you this opportunity to withdraw those very serious allegations.
I won't be withdrawing those allegations. That is a fact, and it's on record. It's on the court record also.
Okay. Okay, Cord. That concludes the topical issue debate, okay? Micheál McDonagh, apologies. Micheál McDonagh.
Yeah, thank you. Gormagat Ardvera. Just to generally welcome the report, despite the flawed process, I think the outcome is generally welcome. Anything we can do as a city council to improve public transport in particular, make it more available, make it more accessible, is absolutely should be done. Part of the plan is focused on the North Keys. We don't use the potential of the North Keys. They have great potential, as obviously they're south-facing, but the potential to use them for primarily pedestrian, cyclist, public transport, and open space would be great. I have to conclude by this. I'm sick and tired of a certain councillor on this council describing Dublin as a disaster. You know, it's headline grabbing. And of course, it works with certain media outlets. But it really lets this city council down and lets the people of Dublin down, shouting disaster.
Tell that to the people who are cutting the
now,
city.
Now, Grimagot, I'm not entertaining anything else. So, Natalie.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Item number 19.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, on a point of information.
Point of information.
I asked a question of the city manager. I asked him, would he stand over the survey?
We don't take questions during topical issues, Councillor O'Farrell, as per standing orders.
Lord Mayor, just the I accepted no questions, but does the manager not respond?
It's a topical issue and it's a debate for council. So, as per standing orders.
Well, Lord Mayor, can I ask...
Natalie, Gormagot, I'm not entertaining.
I'm asking that this council would refer that aspect of the standing orders to the protocol
committee. Protocol committee, absolutely
staff.
No issues, but under standing orders, this is how we work.
I actually don't agree with you on that interpretation,
Gormagot.
Lord Mayor.
On a point of information.
Lord Mayor, on a point of information, can the manager tell us when this issue is actually going to be decided on? But sorry, please, it's helpful. Can the manager tell us when we're going to decide on this issue? I think that's really helpful, because it hasn't been decided on.
It'll be in... Deirdre, I can tell you that. It'll be in April, at the April Council meeting. It's coming to the April Council meeting, okay? Natalie, please continue
Thank
with
you,
the agenda.
Lord
sorry, on another,
item
another point of information, Lord Mayor.
Sorry,
another point of information.
Bear me now.
Lord Mayor, another point of information.
Now, item number 19.
Please, can I have some Leonis in the
sorry,
chamber?
Lord Mayor, I don't speak that often.
If you want to speak, you put your hand up, Councillor O'Farrell. We can't just speak out. I'm not entertaining that tonight. We have way too much of it.
Item number 19, report number 39 of the Area Committee, Breviates of
sorry,
the Area
Lord
Committee
Lord
meetings
Mayor.
Held in
so,
the,
sorry, Lord
the month
Mayor.
Of January
so very serious
Is it a point of information?
On a point of information, there was a very serious accusation there made that there was a, one of our staff members, it's on a court record, misled the court. And we should get a report on that, whether that's the case or not.
That gets referred to protocol.
I'm sorry. That was brought up. You brought that up, Lord Mayor. You brought that up in the chamber.
Councillor Farrell, I asked somebody to withdraw serious allegations. That's what I decided to do. This is not a point of information. If you have something, you bring it up through the appropriate channels.
The Councillor said it's on the court record.
I have Councillor Cathal Driscoll as a proposer and Councillor Ray McAdam as a seconder. Is that agreed? Item number 20, report number 44, the Joint Policing Area Subcommittee's Breviates of the Area Joint Policing Subcommittee meetings held in the month of January. Can I have a proposer, Councillor Jackson, and a seconder? Councillor McAdam, is that agreed? Item number 21, report 41 of the Housing Strategic Policy Committee, Breviate of the meeting held on the 15th of December 2023. Councillor Alison Gillen, chairperson. Can I have a proposer, please? Yes. Councillor Terence Flanagan, and a seconder? Councillor Gilliland.
Can I just point something out in that report that has changed since, please? Just on the SPC work plan, it indicates in the breviate that February is active land management and March is affordable housing, just due to availability of staff that is now switched around.
Okay. Item number 22, report number 48 of the Economic and Development Strategic Policy Committee, Breviate of the meeting held on the 23rd of January 2024. Councillor Tom Brabazon, chairperson. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Cathal O'Driscoll and a seconder. Councillor Terence Flanagan, is that agreed? And item number 23, report number 49, the Finance Strategic Policy Committee, Breviate of the meeting held on the 18th of January 2024. Councillor Seamus McGrattan, chairperson. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Jackson and a seconder, please. Councillor O'Driscoll. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Colleagues, we now move to motions on notice. Councillor Cathal O'Driscoll.
Good, Lord Mayor. LED lighting has been a huge benefit in our public lighting system. It's sustainable, it's reliable, it's controllable, and it's brighter. There's an unfortunate outcome of this brightness for people with various conditions. Neurological conditions can be sensitive to temporary light modulation of about 100 hertz. That triggers symptoms. What this means for people with these conditions, it can mean the onset of a migraine, a headache, dizziness or malaise. Migraine is experienced by about 1 in 5 women in this country and 1 in 15 men. Best practice to control lighting to avoid symptoms being brought on is to appropriately diffuse or shield any glare that comes from lighting. I've met Dubliners who have been triggered by strong lighting that has been put into their residential areas, and they've experienced symptoms. We don't all recognise what causes our migraines, but they've been able to work out that the change in lighting is part of theirs. What I'm looking for is that we will develop an evidence-informed guidelines on how to make the most of our lighting and the control we have over LEDs, and that will require a feasibility study and the engagement with experts so that we can ensure that our public lighting isn't causing or aggravating conditions of our Dubliners. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Margaret, Councillor Deirdre Heaney.
Margaret, Lord Mayor, I'd like to second the motion put down by Councillor Driscoll. I think it's a really worthwhile proposal. I have come across people who have serious issues around migraine. I didn't know those figures in relation to men and women, but it really is it's a debilitating experience for a lot of people. And any, I suppose, assistance that we as a city can provide to our citizens who are experiencing such debilitating migraines is certainly well worth progressing. So I'm happy to second this motion and look forward to working with Councillor O'Driscoll if it's passed by the Council. Gormagat Ardver.
Gormagat. Councillor Janice Boylan.
As a migraine sufferer and somebody that works in optics, I completely and utterly relate to how the lights can affect the eyes and therefore can affect the head and cause dizziness, headaches and stuff like that. I want to commend Councillor O'Driscoll for the motion. I think it's a very a thoughtful motion in relation to people who do suffer with migraines and other ailments that causes them to become dizzy with lights and stuff like that. There is, because of, you know, what I wear when I'm in work, because there's lots of LED lights in work as well, and then the glare even off the screen sometimes, it's an anti-reflective lens that you can wear over your glasses. It doesn't take away everything, but it does help. So I just said I'd say that to people. Paddy McCartan is an optician as well. He'll come in and confirm that that's it's a good help to people who suffer with the lights and the glare as well. So it might be helpful to people that are listening in.
Gur Mahagut Janice. That's everybody in. Councillor Janet Horner.
Yeah, just to say that I would have a lot of reservations about this motion. I think that there's a lot of misinformation that is going around about LED lights and their impact on health, and most of that has not been well-founded. I think what we do need to be clear about is if we are looking at anything around the impact of LED lights, that we are also examining it in a much more holistic way, so we are not taking one issue in isolation, whether that's the issue of autism or sensory issues, without considering also the impact on safety, the impact on sustainability, and a much wider range of things. And I think for the most part, all of those issues have been well encompassed in how the lighting strategy and the public lighting strategy the city has developed has taken forward. So for the reason that this motion is looking at the issue of LED lights in isolation from the wider range of impacts on health and sustainability of the city as a whole, I would be minded to vote against it as it is, and I would like to maybe, one of the suggestions I would have again is to bring it to the SPC to look at it in the wider context of what LED lights can offer by way of safety. We know they have a much wider colour spectrum, for example, so we often talk about how difficult it is to see whether somebody walking or cycling at night. With a much wider colour spectrum provided for by LED lights, that becomes much easier. That has a knock-on impact on safety, and we need to be very mindful of that when we're discussing the issue. So I think we can examine this, but I think we should be examining it in a much wider context than one issue in isolation.
Margaret, Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thanks, Councillor Horner, for that last contribution. Just before we go ahead, if the Council decides to go ahead with this and pay, I don't know, 15,000, 20,000 euros to do a piece of research, obviously, if this is an issue that's emerged in other areas, there must be other reports, so we mightn't have to replicate it. We may be able to pull her from a shelf somewhere. And the last question I'll say is, not known about the issue about Migraine and what's been alleged about these lights, only in the last couple of weeks, some of them have been replaced in Ballyferm. I have about 5 or 6 emails from people just saying how wonderful it is their streets are all lit up on Blackditch Road and Cleagan Park and Ballyfermot, and all obviously our public lighting has replaced the lamp heads, and in doing so people feel that it's a safer environment. So as I say, I'm not taking away from the fact of what Councillor O'Driscoll has said earlier on. Thanks, Lord.
Gur Mahagut, Councillor James Gagan.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. Just to say, I commend Councillor O'Driscoll for bringing this motion and I suppose bringing this issue to the council agenda, because it's very much something specific. So often some of these motions don't actually concern something that was in our remit, and public lighting is what we are the absolute experts on. And I know Councillor Jackson said there about going off to have some, you know, pay 20,000 euro, but I'd be astonished if within Dublin City Council we didn't have the requisite expertise, given the amount of public lighting they're responsible for, to not have A, come across this issue, and B, have a very clear view on it and all of the relevant studies, etc. So I look forward to this motion passing, and for us as elected members and maybe the general public having a greater understanding. And I take what Councillor Horner's saying there in terms of that there might be mixed views on this, but let's get the answer to that and let's have a good report on it and let's inform the public on it and see can we do better for migraine sufferers. Thanks.
Manager.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. To confirm, Lord Mayor, the public lighting that we use, the LED lighting, does actually comply with all the international standards and European standards that's there. We have recently commenced the use of a warmer colour temperature in the LED lights, and that's part of the lighting upgrade project. But I can confirm that the Council has no difficulty in making general inquiries and research to establish whether there is any difficulties in relation to migrant sufferers, and we can bring that to an SPC committee, the results of that research.
Gur Mahagut, Councillor Cat O'Driscoll.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yeah, the data I've been looking at is coming from the EU Director General for Health and Safety and Migraine Ireland and people in Dublin who've come to me with this. So I really welcome the proposal from management that we'll take a look at this. And I'm particularly looking at the tone of the light emitted. And it's great to hear that there's some work done on that already. Blue light is the worst kind of light for people who get triggered by this. So we're moving in the right direction, and let's make sure everything we do is evidence-informed. Thanks.
Is that agreed?
For that, please.
Agreed.
Colleagues, as we've about 30 seconds left in the meeting,
Mayor, if you're prepared to agree, motion two, I'll take it without debate.
From the South East Area Committee?
Yeah.
Is that agreed?
It's been on the agenda for ages.
Well, it's in time, so.
Thank you.
Colleagues, see us all again next month. Gurmila Milamahagi. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Thank you.